Just wait.
So I know that there are people who think like, oh, you know, do this and, you know, that I'm going to be locked up or whatever. I ain't worried about that. That you heard the truth and the truth shall make you free. I ain't even worried about that. Like, not.
Did some reconnaissance on the ground, speaking to an organization there that's gearing up to for resistance and protest. I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised to see the community coming together. We're like, wait a minute, which operation are we at? And as it turns out, because we're like, well, this is kind of MAGA coded, right? Saw the American flag or whatever, but these are resistance protesters. They're planning an operation that we're going to follow them on. I can't tell you exactly what they're doing, but it's called Operation Pull Up.
The FACE Act is constitutional and properly applied. In this case, it certainly is, because Lemon and the Black Lives Matter crew said they were there to make them uncomfortable and shut them down and basically bully them into their political form of thinking. When you do that, you are engaged in a conspiracy against someone's rights.
The president just arrested two journalists. Now I think that he's almost in double down mode. I thought he was in de-escalate mode. Now he's having journalists arrested.
Well, he arrested journalists for committing crimes and then filming themselves committing crimes and then talking and admitting on camera to committing those crimes. So, you know, just because you say you're a journalist doesn't mean he violated the FACE Act in 18 U.S. Code Section 241, among others.
The Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, FACE Act, makes it unlawful to use force, threats of force, or physical obstruction to intentionally injure, intimidate, or interfere with anyone exercising their religious beliefs at a house of worship. This law protects all faith communities equally, churches, synagogues, mosques, temples, and others.
How did they use force or intimidation? Fundamental part of the mens rea of that statute. How?
Quote, your parents are Nazis, end quote, was yelled directly in the faces of children while accusing parents of being Nazis who would burn in hell. Quote, this ain't God's house, this is the house of the devil, end quote, was shouted by protester William Kelly. Accusations that the church was, quote, harboring killers, end quote, directed at the congregation. In the chaos, some protesters reportedly shouted, quote, shoot, end quote, amid fears of guns, contributing to panic that felt like a, quote, mass shooting, end quote, to one victim as stairs were blocked to prevent parents from reaching Sunday school children.
Don Lemon said on camera that the purpose of the event that he was actively participating in was to traumatize people. And he said that is good. That is what that is for.
Watch this guy here. Look, he's hugging his kid. And, you know, I just imagine it's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here, but that's what protesting is about. And so
you heard what some of the folks said in there, you know, that this is they shouldn't be there and, you know, they shouldn't be uncomfortable and this is our house and whatever. That's what protesting is about, is to make people uncomfortable. You may not like it.
He said he knew a secret. He knew about what they were doing in advance. He wouldn't say it on camera. Yeah, he served coffee to his fellow activists in there. He violated the FACE Act. He conspired against my
friends.
Very important point. You cannot claim First Amendment protections while you actively violate the First Amendment rights of others.
The FBI and Bloomfield police arrested Nicholas Melendretos yesterday. The U.S. Attorney's Office says he is the man seen on this surveillance video hurling the device at the main entrance of Temple near Tamid early Sunday morning. Luckily, it did not cause any major damage, but if convicted, he's facing a maximum of 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine.
Federal prosecutors say he shared a manifesto containing threats to attack a synagogue and Jewish people. Titled, When
All right, folks, that is the latest from John Bound. Find and share that video on band.video. Don Lemon protected by propaganda machine. I saw somebody on X. I wish I could give him credit, but I don't have it pulled up. But they're basically saying, no, if Don Lemon gets away with this, then guess who's going to put on a press jacket and go interview people in the lobby in the waiting room of abortion clinics? Oh, I didn't realize you could just violate the FACE Act as long as you say that you're pressed while you're doing it. Great. Great. So either you can throw Don Lemon in jail like he deserves, like you threw all of the FACE Act protesters in jail, or I guess we're going to have a lot of bombshell interviews with women, you know, waiting to get abortions, and we'll have to grill them. We'll have to really ask them questions about what they're doing and why they're doing it. That won't violate the FACE Act, right? We're journalists after all. Ridiculous. We'll be right back.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, Infowars.com, band.video. I really hope you're following us on X, since we are not long for this world. The shutdown is imminent of Infowars, but we will continue in a different form. We will evolve like a Pokemon. You didn't realize this. We're still Charmander here. Wait, what's the big one? Yeah. Yeah, we're still the baby version. We're still the Bulbasaur, the Venusaurs for my millennial bros. You get what I'm saying? We haven't yet reached our final form, but that'll happen whether we like it or not very soon. So make sure you're following us on X. I'm at Harrison H. Smith, at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live. Make sure you're following us. I gotta say, I'm feeling like I'm walking on air today, because we, together, you and I, we have delivered a massive blow to the New World Order. I asked and you answered. I called and you responded. I showed you yesterday the video called The Eighth Front that I posted on X. And since then, in about 24 hours, it has received, I think it may be up to 5 million views at this point. So we've absolutely broken through. Thank you to everybody who shared it. And I consider this a monumental victory, sort of a meta victory, because the whole video is about the fact that there are these massively powerful and well-funded, coordinated, interlocking networks of psychological operations going on, funded to the tune of tens of billions of dollars, all focused on trying to psyop and deceive the American people. And we can blow it all up in an afternoon with a single video that it cost me absolutely nothing to make. Really, really think about that. I mean, really think about what they're trying to achieve and how utterly impossible their task is. You can't censor everybody all the time. It just doesn't work. And it's a fool's errand to try. And you're just going to cause a bunch of backlash against you. But obviously, owning the algorithms, owning the social media networks that these things are played on, gives them a very big hand in being able to suppress information that exposes their misdeeds. But we can circumvent that. We can defeat that. Humanity can actually defeat the machines. Humanity just has to weaponize our humanity. Use our free will to circumvent the censorship, circumvent the digital controls, however we possibly can. So I'm very excited that it's had such a massive impact, and I hope it just continues to be spread. And it was funny because my sister was texting me about it yesterday, and she's like, I can't imagine how long that took you. Like, you know, that was a great video. It was really long, and you just gave it out for free. You just put it out there. You just published it and said, here you go. Here's 100 hours of my blood, sweat, and tears. Enjoy. Cause you know, some people, my sister, really good at making money. Some of they just got a sense for it. And I'm sure if I had that sense, I would have been able to transmute this video into money. That's not really my mindset though. And maybe it's just a cope, an excuse to be like, well, I don't really have to learn how to do that, because this is the InfoWars philosophy. It's about the information. It's about getting the information out there. I'm not about to put anything behind a paywall or do anything that will diminish the reach of the information, even if it makes money. So that's not why we're doing it. And so my sister's like, she's like, that's so like selfless. And it's like, not really. No, I'm doing this for pure enjoyment. No, this is fun for me. This was, you know, I wasn't suffering when I made this. It was thrilling. It was fun. It was exciting. It was like a giant puzzle trying to put it all together. And then seeing the way people are reacting to it is so fulfilling and satisfying. This is pure joy for me. Pure joy. This is the beautiful thing about what we're doing. It feels amazing to deal a solid blow to the bad guys. It's fun. I would pay to feel this feeling. How do you think David felt when the rock left the sling towards Goliath's head? You know that feeling when you've just thrown trash at a trash basket, but you just know you nailed it the instant that it leaves your hand? That, you know, that's the feeling I have. As you're swinging it around, you let go and you go, that was the one. I nailed it. I hit him right in the head. I killed the giant. Save the world. It feels good. It feels very good. I want you to feel this feeling. You can. It's very fun, and it's frankly not that hard. There's free editing software out there. Every video that I used was posted by somebody else. I just bookmark it, download it later, throw it in an editing software. DaVinci Resolve is professional editing software that's absolutely free. Things like CapCut and, you know, mobile editing software. Absolutely free, and it's on your phone. Like, if you have a phone, you can be producing videos right now. This is what we need. We need more of this. And on top of that, my goal, my ultimate fantasy is to make a video that goes viral on its own accord and takes on a life of its own. It doesn't need to be me that puts it out. The information that needs to be put out there, and it needs to go, like, my dream is for it to be so wildly successful that it goes past me. And, again, takes on a life of its own and gets a reputation of its own. And I can just be enjoying it from afar. As long as we're changing minds, as long as we're getting the truth out there, we are succeeding. We are winning. And of course, the beautiful part about InfoWars is I don't have to even think about whether or not something's going to be popular, whether I'm going to be able to monetize it. I'm completely free of literally every consideration except for the truth. I don't have to worry about popularity. I don't have to worry about corporate interests. I don't have to worry about, well, my bosses are going to say. Alex is so unbelievably supportive of all of this. And it's been amazing. So my only consideration is, like, is the audience going to get this? Are they going to appreciate this? Am I doing a good job of getting across the message that I think needs to be said? That's all I have to think about. Because you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you purchase a fantastic product. We've got some new fantastic products, by the way, that you're going to want to check out. Some hydration mixes. So, you know, drink flavors, you just pour it in water. It makes it taste really good, and it also has vitamins and minerals that help you absorb the water. Fantastic new product, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. But as long as you go there and purchase the products and keep us on the air, then I'll get my paycheck and I'll be able to focus entirely 100% on just investigating, researching, downloading videos, editing things. This is what has made us so powerful already. And so, again, I just thank you for spreading that. And I'm not just trying to pat myself on the back. I don't even feel that, like, it's not me. I just threw together some videos. So it's fun. I want you to be involved in this. And I just want to thank you for sharing it. And I do think it's especially important right now to be celebrating our victories and reminding ourselves that despite the unrelenting horrors of the Epstein files, the revelation of just the sickening perversion of so many people in power, don't be blackpilled by that. Like, the release of the files is a victory in and of itself, but it's also a beachhead for the next campaign. We need to recognize, be able to look at all this stuff, but also avoid deliberately the black pill of it all. And so actually I want to start with that video. We'll do the Daily Dispatch on the other side, but let me go to clip number two here, because I feel like this is the exact message people need to hear following the release of the Epstein files. Let's watch.
Lately, a lot of people have felt disturbed by the shocking files that have been released. I hope what I have to say can act as a light in the darkness that is the internet currently. We cannot fear what we understand, so let's try to understand it. These people are obsessed with power, and obsession grows the more it's fed until it consumes them. That's why they rise so high, because they obsess over power in a way that most of us simply don't. You wouldn't be surprised to find fish in water, so don't be surprised to find the most power-hungry people in positions of power. Carl Jung would say that people like this become possessed by an archetype, such as the king or god archetype. At extreme levels of wealth and influence, people can fall into what he called psychic inflation. They begin to feel above moral law and above humanity. They stop seeing others as people and start acting out an ancient pattern, the tyrant. People become consumable and disposable objects to them. The so-called demon they worship is their own darkest consciousness projected outwards. When something unconscious grows strong enough, people mistake it for an external power. If we fear their invented demon, we allow it to root in our own subconscious. And that is what they would want. Extremely mentally weak people are drawn to taboo, because sharing a taboo with others creates an intense, albeit dark, bond. It makes the participants feel above the common herd who follow the rules. It is, unfortunately, the dark side of human curiosity. What can be done about it comes next. But for now, do not let the fear-mongering nature of the internet disturb your soul. Here's something to remember. The full degeneracy of the human ego exists only in dark corners. If it truly ruled the world, the beautiful, ordinary, love-filled life that we experience every day would simply not exist. And if you think your life's not beautiful, you have not noticed the beauty yet. It will come, I promise. What we are witnessing is not an omnipotent evil, but simply people with a god or demon complex who let their pathetic animal urges take over them completely.
100%. So not only is the message of not being black-pilled, not being depressed by all of this an important one, it's also important to try to elucidate some of the psychological pressures that drive people to do this. And I forget about this because we have known this for so long. I personally, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to my voice are the same, it's been decades since I absorbed and internalized the concept that our elite are a bunch of psychotic Satan-worshipping pedophiles. Like, you got to just start with that basis. But that's still a very, very, very hard hurdle for a lot of normal people to get over. It's a difficult hump to summit because it's like, it's hard to believe that people are like this. It really is. It really, for a decent, normal human being, it is hard to even comprehend the fact that there are people out there that genuinely revel in suffering. And it demands explanation to the average person because it is so out there and weird and bizarre. And when I was talking to my wife about this, you know, she's one of these people that's just like, she just can't even fathom. And frankly, you shouldn't be able to. I'm sort of used to this, but you should be shocked and confused and befuddled when you hear about people more or less like offering their children to Jeffrey Epstein, participating in this stuff. And, you know, I'm just saying it as if it's, you know, everybody knows. And I'm like, well, you got to participate if you want to go up the ladder. My wife's like, who would want to go up that ladder? I'm like, people are horrible. What am I supposed to say? Like, yeah, I know it sucks. It really does suck that we are ruled by just these demons. But like, okay, that's just how it is. I mean, it sucks. It's evil. It really is. But you got to just recognize that. You got to just go, okay, they're evil. That's all it is. You don't need to rationalize it. Now, this also ties into the other, you know, big story about Epstein that's dominated the coverage, which is the use of the word goy and the, you know, Jewish supremacy stuff that is to be found sort of throughout the files, because that is a very good shorthand way to dehumanize people so that you can victimize them. It's a very well-known, like, tried and tested thing. If you want people to go out and kill the enemy, you demean the race of the enemy. It's why in World War II, all of the propaganda about the Japanese had them looking like monkeys, big buck teeth, and I mean, they were just portrayed as awful subhuman monsters because we're expected to send normal, decent people who don't want to kill anybody. Well, you got to get them to go kill people. So what do? You make the people they're killing less than human. Suddenly it's not so hard. Yeah, suddenly you're just sort of taking care of the farm animals rather than oppressing humans, right? So humans have the ability to do absolutely horrible things to one another, even normal people. even good, upstanding, decent people most of the time. And again, we see this on in things like the Milgram experiment and others, the Ash experiment, where you get normal people. If a person in a lab coat says it's okay, they'll shock somebody to death and think nothing of it. Humanity has these psychological workarounds to morality, and you can deliberately foster and encourage them. And again, just trying to explain this and sort of the nuances and the psychology of it all. One thing that I think it's worth noting, even though it's sick, even though it's like really hard to kind of wrap your mind around, I can't remember exactly how my wife and I got into it, but basically in order to explain a lot of this stuff, it's like you have to understand the Jewish people in particular are probably the most psychologically terrorized people of all time. And they do it to themselves a lot. And it's tragic and horrific. And I don't understand it, to be honest with you. I'm saying to my wife, like, we have a son that's 4 years old. And I'm like, imagine showing our son videos of like piles of dead bodies and bulldozers pushing them into a ditch and telling him, this is what will happen to you if, you know, things don't go well. Because 4 years old is about the average time that the average Jewish person is introduced to images of the Holocaust. And it is psychologically terrorizing. And I've talked about this before. There's a famous interview with an actress. I'm blanking on her name right now, but very famous actress. And in this interview, she's talking about how at 7 years old, she was sleeping on the floor outside of her parents' bedroom because if they were going to be taken in the middle of the night, she wanted to wake up so that she knew what was happening. And it's like, yeah, that's like torture. That's like mental torture on somebody. Of course, that person's going to grow up with this implanted paranoia. And again, I sympathize with it because, you know, a lot of people alive today, a lot of people my age are hearing firsthand stories from their grandparents where they're going, yeah, I grew up in Poland. And when I was six, my whole family was taken by the Nazis. So it's not even, it's not even a condemnation of the Jewish people, but you do have to understand that there is a very strong and I think negative influence of, you know, these types of stories, telling them to little kids. And it is very useful for the Jewish elite who want to manipulate everybody, Jews and Gentiles alike. It's a very, you know, convenient system to where the worse Israel acts, the more, you know, children it murders in the full view of the world, the more people speak up about that. One of the main points of the Eighth Front War video that I put out is that repeatedly you hear them reemphasize and make a major point of their entire operation to conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. So anybody watching Israel commit genocide and saying this is evil, well, that adds to the statistics of anti-Semitism. So then ADL and all of these other self-appointed Jewish overlord groups that think they have the right to censor us on the basis of their feelings, they get to point to that and go, look at the rise in anti-Semitism. We need more money. We need more influence. You know, we need more power because look at this rise in anti-Semitism when really it's just people mad at what Israel is doing. So it's, and you know, on top of that, you can point to that and go, you know, they are speaking to their fellow Jewish Americans saying, look at this rise in anti-Semitism. It's not safe for you anymore. You got to get all your stuff and get to Israel with us. And you can't, you know, you're not really American. It may have been a nice little illusion that we were American for a little while, but that's over now and you got to come with us. And it's weaponizing and utilizing these very, very deep-seated psychological, levers in the mentality of victimized people that make it extremely easy to manipulate them. So you've got to be on the lookout for that. And personally, I don't think it's healthy to like indoctrinate kids into that sort of stuff when they're not young enough to, you know, fully understand it. And I just think it's worth pointing that out because the last thing I want to do is demonize the Jewish people who I think are the biggest victims right up there with everybody else being victimized by these people. They're just being victimized in a different way. Because I see that a lot. And in fact, I have a thing from Reddit right here. Latest Epstein file drop is already making anti-Semitism online a lot worse. So this person says, my whole Instagram feed is now talking about how the conspiracy theorists were right and how the global elite have ties to Mossad in Israel, eat babies, and Israel was behind 9/11. I just saw an Insta reel where a girl had a compilation of Epstein emails and faces – of those implicated with a voiceover of Hitler's speeches, which had been translated to English using AI. It had 155,000 likes and comments filled with the Austrian painter was right emoji. I've seen things like this before, but now my feed is full of it. So yeah, the left and right are joining hands, believing every conspiracy theory now, with evil Jews being at the center and pointing fingers at Israel, Zionists, and Jews for all the world's wrongdoings. Don't get me wrong, Epstein was a monster, but this is going to affect every Jewish person, and it's going to get worse, I think. Thoughts? I mean, my thoughts would be, why are you not condemning all of these people with the rest of us? That would be my thought. Again, why for a single second would this person, you know, I guess I get it. I guess, you know, if it's a bunch of people like blaming all Jews, and then this person's like, oh man, I'm getting blamed for this. But I don't really understand it, because if there's some revelation of some white person being super racist, I'm not like, ah, gee, this is really going to reflect bad on white people. Like, what are we going to do about this? You just go, well, that guy's a racist, I guess. Like, screw him. He's not with me. I don't agree with that. Problem solved. Not that hard. But all of the responses to this, the key word here is online and not Epstein. You're talking about Iranian and Qatari bots who spread anti-Semitism. There are less than 20 million Jews left. We don't have the numbers to do anything about the billions of people that hate us. And it's like, but it's not, though. But I mean, how could you, you know, this person says basically like, yeah, these emails look really bad and it's making everybody think that the anti-Semitic people are right. And somebody comes in and goes, no, those are Qatari bots. It's all online. That's an illusion. It's like, no, it's not. No, people are really mad about this. They don't like this. And you have to take accountability for it, at least in some way. Like, you have to actually address the concerns that people have, not just call them Qatari bots. That's like part of the problem, actually, is that there's been this implanted idea that whatever you phrase as anti-Semitism can't ever be valid at all. And it always just comes from a genetic disposition of the European people or whatever it is. And it's like, no, guys, this is bad. This is like actually not good. It's like clear that Israel is involved in all these horrible things. And a lot of people who run major corporations in our country have a secret seething hatred of non-Jews. Like, that's concerning. And it's actually something that people are concerned about. You don't have, it's not a trick. People are not botted or tricked by the algorithm into thinking this is bad. It's bad. So you can't pretend that it's not. You're making the problem worse. Do you not understand this? It's like so simple. 100%. But it's merely an excuse, of course, to be openly, blatantly anti-Semitic. It's grotesque, but they're saying all the quiet parts out loud now. If you used one person in a minority who'd done unconscionable things as an example of their population as a whole, you'd lose your account, as well you should. If you used that one person's crimes against the rest of the members of that minority group, you'd be labeled a racist, and rightly so. If you dared to infer, well, you know, they're all that way about anyone other than Jews, the world would be seething with righteous indignation, which somehow they cannot muster for us. And it's like, guys, what the hell? Well, I mean, the entire society has gone along with all of the anti-Semitism stuff this whole time. But they're still acting like they're being like singled out for some reason. This is not healthy. This is not a healthy way to respond to this. This is delusion. This is an implanted psychological manipulation tactic that's being used to enslave you. You've got to break free. I can't do it for you, actually. So we'll do your daily dispatch on the other side. We got a lot of other news to get into, but I do think it's worth mentioning the psychological paradigm that has got us to this point.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr., He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more Methylene Blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I got to get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it if you're on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I ain't going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
He's a superstar. He's the all-American boy. He's meeting everybody. He knows everyone. He's involved in everything. Bill Gates, a little herpes sore there, Bill. Well, can't forget the hot tub, the Spaceys, and the Clintons, of course. Now, who wouldn't want to live this lifestyle, right? I mean, so many people acting like they wouldn't want to be, this guy. Who wouldn't want to be a horrible criminal?
Every time I hold you, I begin to understand.
This is what AI is for. In the Eighth Front, video, you keep hearing Benjamin Netanyahu say, AI has all these incredible powers. It also has some you know, some dangers that come along with it. This is what he means. This is what he's talking about with the dangers of AI. The dangerous part about AI is you can make extremely compelling, interesting content that exposes something utterly true about their behavior and the way the world works. It's very dangerous stuff we're witnessing here. Very dangerous usage of AI. It was absolutely incredible. This is a video from a user called I Can't Even Production. I Can't Even Production. Oh, there you got all the Bidens. The Biden and the tall Biden, the clone Biden. He's taking a selfie with the binder lookers. How fantastic. I'm telling you folks, AI is getting to the next level. Better than Hollywood. And the big tech masters leading the Emperor Trump and the vampire returns to the tunnels. I mean, that was a work of art. That was art. That should be in a museum at I Can't Even Films. At I Can't Even Films on X. Just absolutely incredible. Just unbelievably cool that people can just make this on their own. Again, is it telling you something? Not really. It's just sort of showing you things. Just sort of, isn't this kind of weird? Isn't this weird that this dude knew everybody? Was pulling all the strings. Isn't that kind of weird? I thought that was absolutely fantastic. We got more videos to show you today. Very big show we have for you. I'm going to open up the phone lines a little bit later. But let's do it, shall we? Haven't even done it yet. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Wednesday, the 4th of February, 2026. Paris prosecutors summon Elon Musk after a raid on X's French offices. Prosecutors in Paris say they asked Elon Musk to appear for questioning as part of an investigation into the distribution of sexual deepfakes and Holocaust denial content after searching X's office in the French capital early Tuesday. The search was carried out by the prosecutor's cybercrime unit in partnership with the French police's own cybercrime unit and Europol, the office said on X. A voluntary summons was issued for Musk and former ex-CEO Linda Yaccarino in order to appear and answer questions about the platform's adherence to French laws. The prosecutor's office said it was investigating potential criminal offenses, including complicity in the possession and distribution of child pornography images, the violation of personal rights to the generation of sexual deepfakes, and the denial of crimes against humanity and the alleged fraudulent extraction of data from an automated processing system as part of an organized gang. So, clearly, they're pissed at Elon Musk. We explained, you know, a long time ago, their plan originally was to have Kamala Harris get into office, and they would use the SEC and the FEC and all sorts of, you know, government programs, government functions to go after Elon Musk to try to destroy X in one way or another. I mean, they were very, very much ramping up to do that, and in part of that process, before you get to the point where you're destroying X, you build Blue Sky as the ready-to-go turnkey replacement. Only it's built with the AI censorship built in from the ground floor, so you have a ulterior place to send people that's already got all the control system embedded, and we figured this out early on because the whole thing was just a giant scam. The whole thing is run. The CEO is some Chinese lady whose name means blue sky, but they're like, but she wasn't the founder. We just decided to make her the CEO. And it's like, but her name is Blue Sky and you name the site Blue Sky. It sounds like this is a Chinese honeypot. Sounds like you're working with the Chinese Communist Party to set up a restricted, censored version of X. They're going to try to drive people to after you try to destroy X through various functions of the federal government. That was obvious. Now, obviously, Kamala Harris didn't get in. They weren't able to carry that plan out. But the European cabals are the same as the American cabals, and they don't have the First Amendment, have much more restrictions on free speech. And so they're able to utilize these nations in order to try to get X to bend the knee here in America as well. And I've got a longer story about this, simply titled, you know, we cannot allow foreign nations to censor America. and we won't, and we can't, and thank God for the founding fathers and their foresight in enshrining the First Amendment as the First Amendment. Well done, guys. Really, that was just a stroke of genius. Cannot praise you enough for that, Mr. Jefferson. Meanwhile, Trump anti-fraud task force targeting California and more states to be led by J.D. Vance, sources say. A new White House anti-fraud task force that will search for welfare abuses in California and other states is in the final stages of planning by the vice president and the heads of Independent Consumer Protection Agency. Multiple sources briefed on the plans told CBS News. President Trump intends to sign an executive order in the coming days naming Vice President J.D. Vance as chairman of the task force, a move that's meant to signal the importance of the effort to the president. Andrew Ferguson, a federal official whose job is to prevent consumers from being exploited, will be vice chairman. Ferguson will manage both the Federal Trade Commission, where he's currently chairman, and the daily activities of the new task force, two of the sources said. So this goes into the wider trend that appears to be taking place right now, which is Trump doing everything he can to sort of make up for a year of inaction. Now that it's an election year, they're launching task force, they're launching lawsuits, they're doing a whole bunch of stuff, which will be great if it ever actually comes to fruition. But until then, I'm not getting too excited. Meanwhile, Trump's convicted attempted assassin sentenced to life, Ryan Routh, was sentenced to life in prison for the 2024 assassination attempt on Trump. 49-year-old Ryan Routh has been sentenced to life in prison for plotting to assassinate Donald Trump during his 2024 presidential campaign. He's 59 years old. He was convicted by a jury last September of five criminal counts, including attempted assassination, after serving as his own defense lawyer at trial. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon handed down the sentence in Fort Pierce, Florida. He's now been sentenced to life in prison. Still, we have very little information about who he may have been communicating with or anything like that, which I'm not exactly surprised about, but it seems like there's more to this story than we're hearing, but I guess we'll never hear it. We also have this story. Is it a good story? Is it a bad story? Sort of a little bit of both. Washington Post begins cutting more than 300 jobs. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, no, this is good news. No, I like this, actually. The Washington Post told employees on Wednesday that it was beginning a widespread round of layoffs that are expecting to decimate the organization's sports, local news, and international coverage. The company is laying off about 30% of its employees, according to two people with knowledge of the decision. That includes people on the business side and more than 300 of the roughly 800 journalists in the newsroom, the people said. The cuts are seen as a sign that Bezos, who became one of the world's richest people by selling things on the internet, has not yet figured out how to build and maintain a profitable publication on the internet. Well, does he need some advice? I mean, we've done this for 30 years, and we aren't a well-established, you know, long-lived establishment newspaper. We're just some sort of plucky startup from Texas, but we did it. And it's because we have a secret. It's a little secret that I'm going to let Jeff Bezos into right now. Jeff Bezos, he's very confused. The man may know how to, you know, turn a nation into a giant robotic warehouse really well, okay? Apparently, he knows how to do that. The man is confused about how to run a newsroom. I'll let you in on the secret. I'll let you in on the thing they don't tell you in journalist school. You got to tell the truth. You got to actually say things that are true and that people care about, and then people will read your stories and share them. That's the secret. That's the key component that they're missing. See, the problem is you're a bunch of despicable liars that lie about everything all of the time, and everybody knows that. Your information is less than worthless. People read your stories and they end up misinformed rather than just uninformed. You take people from being ignorant to being wrong. So that's the issue here. Jeff, okay, Mr. Bezos, I can teach you. I can instruct you how to run a newsroom. What you do is you let reporters cover real stories that people care about and tell the truth about them. Everything else falls into line. That's actually all you need to do. But guess it's too late now. You fired almost half of your newsroom, and I'm sure you're going to replace them with AI. I'm sure that's going to work out well. I bet Washington Post is going to turn around and be good now. Finally, Syria signs landmark offshore oil field deal with Chevron and Qatari investor. A lot of people been a little bit confused at the fact that we celebrated the ouster of Bashar al-Assad only to welcome a dictatorship from a previous ISIS commander who wasted no time in setting his thugs on minorities in Syria, murdering and expelling Christians and Alawites and all sort of non-fundamental Muslims. People are wondering, why are we celebrating this? Why is this a good thing? How could this possibly be a positive development? And here's your answer right here. Syria's state-owned petroleum company signed a memorandum of understanding with the U.S. and Qatar on Wednesday for the development of the country's first offshore oil and gas field. Syrian petroleum companies deal with the U.S. energy giant Chevron and the Qatar-based Power International Holding was signed in Damascus in the presence of U.S.'s special envoy to Syria, Tom Barak. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's at least part of what it was all about. Obviously, it was about a land grab for Israel as well. But if you've been watching InfoWars for a while, you know about the Genie Gas Company and the Golan Heights and the fact that a bunch of American industrialists stood to gain a lot of money if they could just get their greedy little mitts on the oil fields under Syria. And so, hey, you got to overthrow a long-lasting regime that actually protected minorities in order to replace them with a vicious beheading tyrant who oppresses everybody. You know, you got to do what you got to do. They need to make that scratch. So, you know, and also take over all the Middle East for Israel so they can finally get out from under America and destroy us on the way out. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have a fantastic new product at TheAlexJonesStore.com. It's hydration from Optimal Human. Optimal Human, of course, the green drink, absolutely incredible. One of our best sellers for a very good reason. And that same brand has now come out with hydration packs. So they're just little flavor packs, a flavored powder that you put in water. And it actually helps you to absorb water even better. It makes water even more water. It helps water that you need to hydrate you actually hydrate you. It's got French sea salt. It's got a few natural sources of magnesium and sodium and things that you actually do want in your water. You know, you can actually like die from dehydration. I think this is true. Maybe you want to double check me on this, but I'm pretty sure like you, if you drink nothing but ultra purified double osmosis purified water, like you can die of dehydration because you actually need the minerals in water to absorb it. Or else it just goes like you don't absorb perfectly clear, you know, perfectly clean water. So you always want some elements in there other than water to help your body absorb it. Of course, sodium does that function. French sea salt is where the sodium comes from. This, but basically just it turns your glass of water into strawberry lemonade or a lemon lime drink. It tastes delicious and it actually helps you hydrate, which a vast majority of people actually are dehydrated and they don't even know it. I was saying this a little bit on the Alex Jones show. I have this problem. I like feel bad. I'm tired. I'm groggy. I'm like achy. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? I think I'm getting sick. And then I just chug a gallon of water and I say, oh no, that was it. Oh no, it was that actually. I was just massively dehydrated. But you know, you might not realize it. So if you're looking for a way to improve your hydration, this is a great way to do it. Hydration, electrolyte drink mix, strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, both of them on sale now at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you and support me, but of course you keep us on the air in the fight and racking up victories against the New World Order in the information battlefield. I have a lot of stories to get to today, like some pretty crazy ones. This is one I hadn't heard too much about, but it apparently is a pretty big thing. And it's the type of thing where if you are paying attention and if you are tuned in to sort of the not public but apparent strategies going on behind the scenes. Like this whole Trump administration, this whole second administration, I've been reporting on these battles going on behind the scenes in the Trump administration where they're trying to oust Pete Hegseth. They're forcing, you know, J.D. Vance's underlings to be fired by leaking their chats. There has been a continuous effort from outside forces to try to manipulate the Trump administration, and they either manipulate them on the personnel level or they try to run media hoaxes to oust the personnel they can't convince to bomb Iran. Pete Hegseth is one of these people. That's what the Signalgate scandal was about. That's what the firestorm about the boats and you're not allowed to bomb drug boats and you have to resign over this. I mean, they just want them to resign. It doesn't matter what excuse they use. They just want them out of the way. They want somebody else in who will go along with their plan, unlike Pete Hegseth, who keeps being this barrier to their complete control. And it's the same thing with Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard is another one. And I actually said it as a joke, and I think I may have been right. A few days ago, there was somebody that put something out saying, like, Tulsi, there's something coming out about Tulsi Gabbard. This is really big. It's, you know, this is going to be a bombshell. Tulsi Gabbard better watch out. She's being exposed. And I joked. I said, oh, it's going to be exposed. She's an Assad toady, right? Because that's what Barry Weiss called her on Joe Rogan. And Joe Rogan's like, what the hell are you talking about? And she immediately backed off. Was like, well, I don't know if she actually is, but she was. And so the joke, of course, is like, oh, I get it. You know, they don't like Tulsi Gabbard, so they're probably going to say that she's an Assad toady or a Putin toady, right? A lickspittle, a sycophant, somebody who serves their interests. And it's like, no, that's actually what they were trying. That's actually what they tried to do. I said it as a joke. I'm pretty sure it's actually the story they're trying to spin, is that Tulsi Gabbard is a Russian or Syrian agent and is, you know, needs to be removed. But of course, there's absolutely nothing to do with why they want her removed, and I shouldn't have to tell you that. Whistleblower complaint centers on sharing of classified intelligence and reporting of a potential crime, Watchdog says. And it's funny because under the tweets about this from the people that are doing it, like not from people commenting on it, but like actually the lawyer and whatever else, yeah, Assad is not the enemy of the United States. Yeah, I know, he wasn't, but that makes her a bad person for acknowledging that apparently. But under the tweets from the actual, like, lawyers of this stuff, every single comment is just like, oh, is his name Eric Chiaramella? Or is he another Vindman brother? I thought we'd seen all the Vindmans. Where are they keeping them? Is there another Vindman coming out to pretend to be a whistleblower to try to stop Trump's agenda? Like, we haven't seen this one before. So just like, nobody's buying this. Nobody's falling for it, and the ODNI has responded in a very, very powerful way. I thought maybe I had the original story about that here, but I'll just read you the response from the office of the DNI. So Tulsi Gabbard is the Director of National Intelligence. This is from her office. They say, in a new letter to Congress, the Intelligence Community Inspector General confirms the whistleblower's allegations against DNI Gabbard were not deemed credible. So basically today, the lawyer, the so-called whistleblower, basically came out and said, we tried to do this through the DNI, but they won't let us, so we have no choice but to go to the Congress with it. And basically they're trying to portray this as a legitimate whistleblower that's being silenced by, you know, his command structure. But there's a intelligence community in general, general inspector that investigated these allegations and determined they had absolutely no value and threw them out. And now they're claiming that now they have to go to the Congress so that a bunch of Democrats can pretend to believe it's a big deal and make a big fuss about it, all to try to pressure Tulsi Gabbard to resign, even though, or I should say, because she is right now at the heart of the gigantic RICO case that they're apparently building centered around the 2020 election being stolen. I've got some crazy updates to that, too. All right, I think that's what this has to do with. I don't think they actually have something that they're blowing the whistle on. I think just like the asylum program and just like, you know, cash bail, it's one of these things that we have in our free and open society because we like to have a method by which good moral people can blow the whistle on the higher-ups and not be punished professionally for it and not have it, you know, hidden by the very people that's trying to expose. See, we have these nice, wonderful, liberal things in our country because our system is built for good, decent, honorable people. The problem is you get the Vindmans and the Eric Charmellas and the CIA scumbags who use the label whistleblower, completely abuse it, use it totally inappropriately to try to get some political scalp. And now, you know, they're going to use that and go, oh, so you don't like whistleblowers? You think whistleblowers shouldn't be allowed to? And it's like, no, you people just take everything good in our society and weaponize it against us. And so we can't have a country with you anymore. You can't be trusted to do anything right ever. So yeah, sorry. I guess we can't have whistleblowing processes anymore because every time we do, the Democrats silence right-wing whistleblowers over and over and over again. We've seen this on display for the last year, people being brought in testifying about the fact that they tried to blow the whistle, something like the FBI, and were just viciously punished for it. But if you're a left-winger, then the whistleblowing process is just a convenient thing to do whenever you have no legitimate reason to oust a political enemy. You just pretend to be a whistleblower, cause a giant media circus. The mainstream media goes along with it, knowing it's untrue, but knowing and participating in the, you know, political hatchet job. These people suck. I guess in a word, these people suck. And once again, the whistleblower process, just like all these other processes, are abused unto death by the Democrats. So this is the response from the DNI. The Biden-era ICIG, Intelligence Community Inspector General, determined that the allegations against DNI Gabbard, quote, did not appear credible. Fact number two, the Biden-era IG did not inform DNI Gabbard of the requirement for transmittance to Congress. Any perceived delay was the result of that former IG's inaction. Fact number three, the Biden-era IG closed the case and declined further investigation, indicating this was not an urgent concern requiring prompt congressional notification. Fact number four, after briefing from ICIG Fox on providing security guidance for transmittal to Congress, DNI took immediate action. And finally, fact five, the current ICIG Fox determined that this complaint would not even meet the statutory definition of urgent concern today. So it's not working, but it's a sign of their desperation that these people are in trouble and they know it, and they're trying to oust the people who are building the maybe I shouldn't say that. We're building the scaffolding for the eventual justice that will come. Was that vague enough for you? They're going after Tulsi because she's got their number and apparently is hunting them down. I'm not sure if we have time to go to 27 here. Yeah, let's go to 27. I'll play it again. But this is why they're pulling a whistleblower out of their butts to try to oust Tulsi Gabbard. Let's watch.
I'm told that. I mean, I've gotten up. I received a call on Monday before last Wednesday, before the raid, that there were going to be arrests in Georgia. Secretary of State, his deputy, Sterling, I believe his name is, me and two or three others. That did not happen on Monday. It didn't happen on Tuesday. But lo and behold, on Wednesday, the FBI shows up. And in addition to the FBI showing up, when Tulsi Gabbard showed up and we'd heard a rumor that she may be coming, I couldn't believe it. But I didn't meet her, didn't talk to her, but she was in fact.
This is the Fulton County Chairman of Commission, Rob Pitts. And that's him saying basically they were afraid that the Secretary of State and his assistant and they were all going to be arrested. And that may have been a red herring, right? They're like, we're going to arrest all of you. And everybody starts freaking out when really they're just going in to capture all the evidence with Tulsi Gabbard in tow. Yeah, that's why they're trying to get her out.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know. And I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, you know, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, get a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Out on the edge, hear the Milky Way's arm. There's a hardworking man working hard on his farm. The so-called stars, how they play their games. There's a dark little secret that's calling their names. Epstein's Island, hidden away from our view, where the powerful gather, doing what they do. On the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, there's a parasite sucking the blood of humanity. No one knows when it started, but it's sure. In the hole, paying for the parties where they sell off their souls. So here's to the fathers, the sons, and the kin, breaking their backs just to let the crooks win. Epstein's gone quiet, but the story ain't done. Lolita's still flying under the sun. Prince and the pauper, Savile's dark grin, cloning at Zorro, where the nightmare begins. The working man wonders as he stares at the sky, why his hard-earned dollars help the monsters get by. On the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, there's a parasite sucking the blood of humanity. No one knows when it started, but it's sure been a while. Out in deep space, paying taxes to pedophiles, pay it no mind, we'll rise up and fight, working man's anthem in the dead of the night.
Well, move over, Oliver Anthony. That is the one and only Matt Baker with an AI creation. I could not stop laughing for that entire song. Absolutely brilliant. Game over, folks, with featuring Thomas Massey on the fiddle. Amazing stuff, folks. You can find and share that video on Matt Baker's X. It's /2_liberty. It's also available. You can, if you want to use it for videos and stuff, he says there's a way that you can license it from him there. He worked very hard on that, and he was telling me he started making that before the Epstein files came out. Then when the files came out, he was like, oh man, I got to finish this. Bravo, Matt Baker. Incredible stuff. Slave to Liberty. The song is called Taxes to Pedophiles. That's going on my playlist. I'll tell you that right now. We'll be back on the other side with more.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Front lines of the information war. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on Band.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Second hour is on. We still have a lot to talk about. I could spend the whole show just on the Epstein stuff, but there is more to consider when it comes to immigration and all this stuff. There's still developments happening, but the revelations from the Epstein files continue to pour in, and it gets crazy, folks. It really does get completely insane. And again, I don't mean to like repeat myself, but I just had this long conversation with my wife yesterday, and it's so funny to me, like trying to explain the evil of the elite to just somebody that is a good person. It doesn't make any sense. And it's nice. It's funny. Like I really should do. I need to do like once a month. I'll just like sit down with my wife and we'll do like a podcast where she's just like, all right, so what's going on with this, you know? Because, you know, a lot of times there are like simple questions that, you know, you don't sort of ask yourself until you're telling somebody else. And she's like, well, if these people are so powerful, like why would they kill him? Like why would they let people know that they killed him? Like what was that about, basically? And I'm going, well, let's see. First of all, he's probably not dead. Second of all, and so I'm laying out all these different options. I'm like, okay, either, you know, he could have been killed by the intelligence agency that was scared that he was going to talk, right? He was under indictment. They were working out a plea deal. They didn't want him to talk, so they killed him, and they wanted everybody to know they killed him as a example to everybody else. And there's emails in the tranche where they are threatening Epstein's brother. So obviously, it's a pretty severe shot across the bow if you are also a spy and you learn, oh, they can get to me anywhere. Oh, okay, even being in federal custody isn't a guarantee that I'm safe from these people. They'll kill me anyway. So maybe intelligence agencies killed him as a way to stop him from talking and as a signal to everybody else. Maybe they didn't actually kill him. Maybe they swapped out his body with somebody else. And there's a lot of evidence of that. And again, when I'm talking to my wife, she's like, wait, really? You think they swat? And I'm like, all right, well, let me lay out the proof for that. First of all, the thing doesn't make sense. The way that they say he died is physically impossible for it to have actually made sense. You also had in this, I mean, probably probably the biggest revelation in all of the files, and I mean, there are a lot, but the fact that a day before Epstein died, supposedly, somebody went on 4chan and said, I work in the jail where Jeffrey Epstein's being held. I'm pretty sure they just swapped him out. Somebody was on X or on a 4chan rather and said, I have inside knowledge. I saw this with my own eyes. They brought in this mysterious like medical van and I think they swapped Jeffrey Epstein out with somebody else. Now, the next day, Jeffrey Epstein ends up dead in circumstances very similar to what this what this 4chan poster was saying. And so that alone made people go back and go, whoa, wait, Jeffrey Epstein's announced that he committed suicide today. Well, yesterday there was somebody on 4chan saying they were going to say he committed suicide. So already people were going back and looking at that post and going, all right, did this guy actually know or not? Now, again, there was no proof. It could have been anonymous, just a good guess or whatever, just some misinformation thrown out there. But then in this tranche of documents from Friday, it's revealed that the Southern District of New York actually subpoenaed 4chan in order to get the ID of the person who posted that. And the person who posted it was, in fact, an employee at the prison. And so unless I'm missing something, it has basically been confirmed now that we have firsthand eyewitness account before the story went mainstream, before anybody knew that Epstein had quote unquote killed himself. He was on 4chan saying they're about to say Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, but I think they just swapped his body. Okay. So that's huge. That's not us saying it. That was the Southern District of New York in going after this guy for posting this are confirming that it was real. Like, that's crazy. But that's just the latest. Early on, when Jeffrey Epstein was first reported to have killed himself, there were pictures of his supposed corpse. And one of the things that pretty much common knowledge at this point is your ear can serve like a fingerprint. Everybody's ear is extremely distinct and unique and unlike anybody else's ear anywhere on earth. And it's actually a method by which you can identify people just like police use fingerprints. You can actually use ear shape, ear contours as a form of identification. Now, the body that they showed in the photos of Jeffrey Epstein's body being wheeled out of the jail cell, you can see the ear and it doesn't look like Jeffrey Epstein's ear. It looks like a completely different ear, actually. That was another hint that maybe Jeffrey Epstein didn't die like they said he did. Then there was the drone footage of Jeffrey Epstein apparently on his island after he was supposedly murdered. So there was that. So there's been a lot of evidence that Jeffrey Epstein got out alive. And again, as I'm explaining this to my wife, I'm going, so either, you know, they killed him to send a message. They could have killed him for this reason. They could have, you know, let him go. And, you know, it was all a trick. And basically you end up with like all of these things could be true. They all might be true. None of them might be true. And you kind of have to embrace all of that all at once. You kind of have to just act as if it's all true and all not true at the same time, because you just have to come to the terms with the fact that I doubt we'll ever really know one way or the other. I seriously doubt that Jeffrey Epstein's going to pop up on ABC News tomorrow going, you got me, I'm actually alive still. What publications first reported Epstein's death? The first mention was on 4chan. Anonymous user posted details of emergency response and recitation efforts on the message 4chan at 8:16 a.m. Eastern time, nearly 40 minutes before major news outlets broke the story. The post correctly noted that Epstein had been transferred to lower Manhattan ER and the hospital staff were preparing statements. And I believe that would have been the same. I think that was the same post that they're talking about where he said that he didn't just, it wasn't just that he died and they were trying to resuscitate him, but that he was swapped out with a van coming into the facilities and swapping his body. So we have some more information about this now. We have some more confirmation that he is likely still alive. So Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. He might not have been murdered either. So in these latest releases from Friday, so this is the actual post. Not saying anything after this, please do not try to dox me, but last night at 1500 hours, they took him medical in a wheelchair, front cuffed, but not one triage nurse says they spoke to him. Next thing we know, a trip van shows up.
We do not do releases on the weekends unless a judge orders it. Next thing we know, he's put in a single man cell and hangs himself. Here's the thing. The trip van did not sign in and we did not record the plate number, and a guy in a green dress military outfit was in the back of the van, according to the tower guy who let him through the gate. You guys, I'm shaking right now, but I think they switched him out. So that was the first report of Jeffrey Epstein's death ever. Pretty wild. Okay. There's the image of him captured by Rusty Shackelford, or I'm sorry. Let me say, there's a picture of somebody on Epstein's Island that looks like Epstein, stands like Epstein, has the same hair as Epstein, and is probably Jeffrey Epstein on his island after being murdered. And I can't remember if it was my wife or somebody else I was talking about who was like, but why would he go back to his island? It's like, because everybody thought he was dead. Because he's like, he thought he got away with it. You know, realize there's going to be a drone flying above, but regardless, we have more info. So again, for this entire time, it's been plausible, and we've always said it's likely that he's living in Tel Aviv with a new face. It's not unlikely at all. But then there's this. In the Epstein file documents from this Friday, there are pictures of Jeffrey Epstein with his shirt off, and you can see a very distinctive tribal tattoo around his upper bicep. Pull these over to the dot cam here. It's from Representative Thomas Massey, posted this, saying other tat pics in the files, and you can see that he's got a very distinctive, permanent, real tattoo, tribal tattoo around his arm. Here's another picture where you can see, again, the tribal tattoo around his upper bicep. Patrick Byrne, according to Grok, Epstein had a barbed wire tattoo on his upper left arm. Here's a picture of him alive with said tattoo. And here's a picture of Epstein's corpse without that tattoo. And so the actual, sorry, let me... Where's the picture of him without the corpse without the tattoo? Oh, it's this one here in the bottom left-hand corner from Patrick Byrne. You can see this is the picture of the corpse that they wheeled out of the jail cell. And this picture's not good, but guys, you can bring up the tweet. This is one that Thomas gave me. The tattoo's not there. Okay, so you can get tattoos removed these days, but not to a degree that it becomes unrecognizable. There's always a scar. There's always discoloring. So even if you got a tattoo removed, it wouldn't just go back to normal skin. So what explains this? How did he go from having a tattoo on his upper arm while alive to not having one when he's dead? Maybe it wasn't his body after all. Thomas Massey posted this. Patrick Byrne is commenting on it. And Thomas Massey put out a poll for his ex-audience. Did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself? Only 3% say he did commit suicide. 33% say he was executed. But the biggest number, 46%, say he's still alive. Obviously not a scientific poll, but it's very interesting that out of nearly 150,000 people responding to Thomas Massey, the majority response, or the biggest response, was that he's probably still alive. There's the picture there, and in the bottom right-hand corner, you can see there's no tattoo. There's no discoloring. It's not there. So what other people, drawing the dots together, drawing the lines between the dots, noticed that a month before Jeffrey Epstein died, Hillary Clinton's brother happened to die, and he looks an awful lot like Jeffrey Epstein. And people have done the comparisons of Hillary Clinton's brother's ear to the ear of the corpse they said was Jeffrey Epstein, and it actually matches. So, I mean, does this sound crazy to you? Kind of makes sense to me. Obviously, the Clintons were in the same cabal as Jeffrey Epstein. I would not be surprised in the slightest if they had something to do with his death. I think you could very feasibly add him to the list of people around the Clintons that mysteriously ended up committing suicide in an impossible fashion. So, I mean, they needed a body, right? I mean, you can't just say he died and not have a body. You got to have a body. And what do you know? Hillary Clinton's brother dies a month before. Maybe you put his body on ice and wheel it out to pretend to be Jeff Epstein. It actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's unbelievably creepy,
But it's not out of the realm of possibility, folks. People are realizing this. So that is a very, very interesting discovery in the Epstein files. But again, even without this stuff, even without the missing tattoo and everything, which is just sort of the icing on the cake, just the fact that they all but confirmed, like unintentionally confirmed, that yes, the post on 4chan about him being swapped was by somebody who had a position to know, who was there when it happened. So that, I think, is probably the biggest story. You know, when you really think about the implications of that, that is truly wild. Oh, there's so much more. This is just a crazy one. A user on Reddit apparently managed to log into Epstein's Outlook account using the information that he found on the released files. So in this big document tranche of 3 million documents, one of them had a handwritten email address with a password, and somebody just went to Outlook and typed that in and was able to sign in. Now, apparently there wasn't any communication. It was like one contact that people have identified, but it's just like, did anybody double check this? Is there any other information that maybe shouldn't have been shared like that? I don't know, but I want to find it. But it's actually very crazy that they actually were able to sign in to this account. And I wonder if they'd locked that down yet. I just wonder. We don't know. But the other thing that people have exposed is, I mean, they're basically trying to draw back all of the Epstein files now. We showed you yesterday. I'm not actually sure if I showed you the actual picture, but essentially on Friday, if you searched Rothschild on the document dump, you'd find like tens of thousands of results. And then that number started going down, and now it's gone down even more. So they're either redacting or, you know, withdrawing and removing documents that feature the word Rothschild. Same thing with Trump. And now, where previously the former releases of documents all had a download all button, those buttons are removed. So now you have to go in and manually download each document one at a time, and the documents are disappearing. And people are noticing that they're disappearing. I mean, it's too little too late. I mean, people have these documents. You really can't claw them back from the internet like that. But they're trying, and it's just kind of embarrassing. And showing that they're not really doing it all that well. Yeah, here's the actual video of the guy filming with the drone. This was after his death. Yeah, just absolutely fascinating. Let's go to this is a crazy one, and this came out like the day after his files got released, but I wanted to look up and confirm some of this stuff. I'm pretty sure this guy's right. I'm pretty sure this guy's not got his information wrong. I took a few days to check some of it out. It was posted saying this is the bottom of the Epstein rabbit hole. Let's go to clip number 9 here. Just wrap your mind around that. I don't even have a way to intro it. Just listen to this.
Here's what's at the bottom of the Epstein rabbit hole.
Congratulations, you've made it to the bottom of the Epstein rabbit hole. Pay close attention. Jeffrey Epstein was on the board of directors for an organization called the Lifeboat Foundation. He was also on the board of directors for an organization called Teachers in Space. Look them both up. They actually exist. They have websites. They don't even try to hide what they're doing. Lifeboat Foundation builds giant underground cities, okay? They openly advertise it, and for a fee and with an application letter, they might accept you to join their little society where they apparently have whole cities underground. They also advertise being able to take the clients off-world in the event of a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because Teachers in Space also talks about taking payloads off-world, which is all really weird, right? It gets even more interesting. You see, Donald Barr was the one who inducted Jeffrey Epstein with zero experience into the Dalton Institute, where he was a teacher. Donald Barr wrote a really interesting book called Relations in Space about an aristocratic elite trafficking children into space. Are you following me here? What's even weirder is the district attorney that was supposed to prosecute Jeffrey Epstein and bring him to justice was literally William Barr, Donald Barr's son. Now, the Lifeboat Foundation is really interesting because in 1996, they pioneered wireless money transfers. They are the second organization in the world to ever do this. This is a decade or two before Bitcoin even was a concept, right? So you got an organization that is doing wireless money transfers that are untraceable, large sums of money, and they're building giant underground infrastructures. It gets even weirder. I found out through looking on archive.org that Lifeboat Foundation has a homelessness youth, like a homeless youth outreach program. And they used to have a whole, like, station in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and a whole board of people. They're all out of the Rhinelander, Wisconsin area. And they had this meeting in 2017, a homelessness problem-solving, like, meeting, right? So you have an organization that's interested in homeless youth, interested in wireless money transfers, and interested in underground infrastructure. I don't know if you guys heard about Sasha Riley. But he's telling the truth. He was trafficked by the Epstein elite. He was in snuff films that he survived, but he witnessed people get unalived. And what I'm telling you is it gets crazier. The reason why Epstein surrounded himself with the scientific elite is because he was doing human cloning and he was doing consciousness transferal and stuff like this. I swear to God, I know this gets crazy, but it's true. And what I'm telling you is he had celebrities down there. He had a cloning center down there. And I know because I was in some of these films. They're on the dark web. I'm on, in films on the dark web, okay? And what they're going to try to say is it's all AI.
Absolutely wild. And like I said, I mean, the Lifeboat Foundation is a real thing. The money, wireless money transfer stuff, I assume is true. From War Horizon on X, Epstein was a board member of the Lifeboat Foundation. They specialized in construction of underground bunkers and tunnels. Here's an email between the foundation and Epstein where they talk about it. And you can see the lifeboat, what they're talking about here. Wonder if you'd like to join the Lifeboat Foundation Advisory Board. We just had Ray Kurzweil and Nobel laureates Daniel Kahneman, Eric S. Maskin, Richard J. Roberts, Wool Soyinka. Join our board so you would have some good company, Eric Klein Lifeboat Foundation. So again, the first name he mentions, Ray Kurzweil, famous, of course, for popularizing the idea of the singularity and the post-singularity and merging man with machine, the organic computer model, which, of course, they're pursuing with everything they've got. And you can see the bunker with 20 different levels that are not made for, you know, surviving a, you know, temporary event. These are places where you're supposed to be able to, like, rebuild society for hundreds of years underground. So that's what Epstein was involved in. And I know Alex went on a little bit today about the life extension technology and that all these people are obsessed with living forever. And that's absolutely true. And that is at the heart and the center of every conspiracy. It's worth it to talk about this again, because they understand, just like you'll understand if you think about it, they can't have life extension technology in the way that the world currently operates. If they achieve life extension technology, they have to keep it absolutely, totally secret. They can't even really use it until they reorganize the entire world into a bifurcated neo-feudal, futuristic feudal system in which the elite live forever, and there's a very small number of them, and they're given the life extension technology, and everybody else is kept in their mortal coil, competing and begging for life extension technology as part of the elite, so they can wield it like a carrot, but they also will be as God. So it is literally the mark of the beast meets the Garden of Eden with the serpent telling them you'll live forever and be as gods if you just follow me and use your intellect and reasoning rather than listening to God. And that's what they're trying to fulfill. And so they're desperately trying to reorganize the whole world into this slave system so they can come out and admit that they have life extension technology and intend to live forever while the rest of us are free to die or serve them or both or neither. That's crazy.
RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game-changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. The stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster, and it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain. Okay. So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing methylene blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our methylene blue. Our methylene blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Way through the show today, folks, and we still have a lot more to cover, including negotiations over the Ukraine war. There's been some developments in immigration and a bit of a change of plans in Minnesota as some federal forces are being withdrawn from there, but they say it's not because they're changing their plans at all. They're still going to go after the scam artists, the Somalis, and all that stuff. We have a story of yet another illegal bio lab in Las Vegas. I'll get to that in just a second. So still just a ton to cover, but let's stick with the Epstein file releases, because one interesting thing that has come about because of the file releases is that despite most of the people involved being American, it's really only in Europe that they seem these files seem to be having any political impact. Again, I covered this on Alex's show earlier, but Donald Trump just continues to dismiss the entire Epstein file story in just the most baffling response I've ever seen. I still cannot make heads or tails of it. They released 3 million documents showing a widespread global network of treasonous pedophiles. And Trump's like, it doesn't have me in there. I don't know why we're looking at it. I don't know why. Look, I'm cured of this. I'm clean. I've been exonerated. So can we move on now? And it's like, dude, it's not about you. What are you talking about? It's crazy. It really is crazy. Okay. But overseas, it's actually being taken seriously and people are actually looking into it, and consequences are actually coming down on the people that are exposed by these files. The U.S. House Judiciary Committee confirms that the EU interfered in 8 European elections: Slovakia, the Netherlands, France, Romania, Moldova, Ireland. People talk about democracy 24/7. And this is tied in with the, Epstein manipulation. Romanian opposition leader George Simion, and of course, if you're watching InfoWars, we covered this extensively. We actually interviewed the very people involved. But the opposition leader in Romania, George Simion, is demanding snap elections after a U.S. document revealed EU interference with Romania's 2024 presidential elections, which were annulled after Georgescu's victory. He says Romania's current government is anti-democratic and anti-American. So we knew this. Again, we covered this at the time. We talked about how they were falsifying election results and basically saying, you know, you chose wrong, you have to do it again. And one of the documents in the Epstein files has revealed that, yeah, you know, they were directly manipulated by the EU. I mean, the EU, and that's what it's for, right? I mean, the claims of democracy cannot be more disproven than they already are. But once again, we're actually seeing tangible effects from the documents inside the Epstein files in places overseas. Why there haven't been similar moves here? Because they're all in on it, I guess. It's the only thing I can figure out. Prince Andrew has been booted out of Royal Lodge in the dead of night to begin exile after King is concerned by flood of Epstein claims. Shamed ex-president Andrew Mountainbon Windsor has skulked out of the Royal Lodge under the cover of darkness to start his exile. The former Duke of York is understood to have been booted out earlier than planned by his brother King Charles after his brother King Charles became increasingly concerned with these shocking revelations. Skips were seen arriving at the property earlier today after Andrew's departure from the sprawling country home. A large lorry down the lengthy driveway to deliver the skips to the front of the home. Andrew left the property on Monday with work to clear out the mansion now seemingly underway in the wake of his departure. More emerged yesterday with Andrew telling Jeffrey Epstein he wanted to be his, quote, pet in one creepy email. And yeah, it's like, this is what should be happening here. How is this not happening here? Why is it only in the UK and Romania and a few other places that the authorities are actually looking at the Epstein documents going, what the hell is this? And then having there be consequences for it. Because Donald Trump is convinced that the only reason to care about Epstein is to get him. And because they can't get him, he doesn't care. Which is wild. It's just, it is, again, just completely and utterly insane. I was trying to think of like an example of how this is where, yeah, this is one of the images that came about from the Epstein file release. Just another picture of Andrew, Prince Andrew, being creepy as hell. But like, you know, I guess I use the metaphor, the comparison of like Watergate scandal. But it's like even the Watergate scandal wasn't as big as this. But this would be like the Democrats who are running against Nixon or, you know, opposed to Nixon are like, well, you know, the Watergate scandal was published in the New York Times and, you know, that's, I think we can leave it now. I don't think we need to talk about it anymore. I think that's it. It's fine. You know, just let's not worry about it. And, the the story was published, so we're done here. And that's all there is to see. It's like, no, you idiots. The story is the thing that ignites the scandal. And then the consequences come from the scandal. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? I got to show you the clip if you haven't seen it. Clip number four here. Trump saying he just wants America to move on. Let's just move on from this. It's just been revealed that elites are like eating babies in between overthrowing countries, in between killing sex slaves for fun. And Trump's like, it's not about me. Who cares? Let's watch.
And you tell me something else. I think it's really time for the country to get onto something else. You know, now that nothing came out about me, other than
now that nothing came out about me
against me, literally by Epstein and other people. But I think it's time now for the country to maybe get onto something else.
Well, what would you say if people like feel like they haven't gotten justice, Mr. President?
Something that people care about. Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's writing page-long Truth Social posts about how Harvard is still too anti-Semitic. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's what he's focusing on. What is going on, dude? What is going on? Trump. You're exactly right. Let me say this. Trump, you're exactly right. This has nothing to do with you. Now that we've established that, can you look at it, please? Not everything's about you. And I keep trying to explain this. I don't think I'm like phrasing it correctly, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. That like Trump is so obsessed with his image. He's so driven by his ego that all he cares about is the Michael Wolff section of the Epstein documents because he's concerned about protecting his image. Okay. But if he instead looked at everything else in the Epstein files and saw, oh, okay, this is a giant cabal of tyrannical psychopaths, and then used his power as president of the United States to go after these people, then his image that he's so concerned about protecting would never need protection ever again if he actually stopped covering up for the pedophiles, which is actually what he's doing now. I'd been defending him this entire time, going, I don't know what he's doing, but it's weird. It doesn't quite make sense. But, you know, these claims of him being a pedophile protector, that's ridiculous. It's complicated. This is about geopolitics. He's probably using the blackmail for something. But at this point, we have all of this incredible bombshell information. And he's sitting there going, move on, guys. Let's just move on already. Dude. Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll move on. I mean, it just doesn't make it. It is self-defeating. If his whole concern is his image, then the one thing he should absolutely be doing is looking at everything in the Epstein files. Does that make sense? Does that come across how I intend it? Because it's like I want to appeal to him on his own, for his own priorities, on his own ground. You're so worried about your image, Trump. If you look at these files, arrest the people admitting to crimes in the files, your image, for now and forevermore, sir, will be savior of the republic. You will be Donald Trump, the champion of free people the world over, who single-handedly brought down the Hydra, like Hercules, who achieved impossible feats and freed the world from a cabal of psychotic, evil people. You should do that. You should do that, Trump. That's the thing you should do. Why you're not doing it? I can only assume that his advisors are just working absolutely overtime to make sure that he is completely swamped with information about Harvard being anti-Semitic and about bombing Iran and all of these other things that genuinely serve nobody except for the insane pedophiles that were revealed in the Epstein document. So ignorance is not an excuse at this point. He is now literally and directly covering for pedophiles. And I don't even think he means to. I genuinely do not think he knows what's going on. And so I guess my question is, between J.D. Vance and Pete Hegseth and Tucker Carlson and John Jr. and Eric Trump and Barron, and like, is there nobody that can talk to him? Is there nobody that can show him what these files actually say about not just his enemies, but his supposed friends and allies as well. A lot of stuff about Marco Rubio in there. It is truly inexplicable. So we're not doing anything about anything. It's all our elite that are just exposed absolutely in all of this. Nothing's happening. Meanwhile, the Romanian government's calling for a snap election, is like about to collapse. The prince is getting booted out of his home. British government will release emails on Peter Mandelson's U.S. ambassador appointment. The UK government agreed Wednesday to release documents casting light on the decision to appoint Peter Mandelson as ambassador to the United States, despite his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, as it tries to stem mounting anger over the revelations. Prime Minister Keir Starmer faced the wrath of opposition lawmakers and his own Labour Party backbenchers after acknowledging that he had known at the time of the 2024 appointment about Mandelson's friendship with the convicted sex offender. Starmer said that he was unaware of the depth of the relationship that Mandelson had and that Mandelson had lied repeatedly about his ties to Epstein. A trove of documents about Epstein released last week by the U.S. Justice Department finished off Mandelson's long political career and left Starmer facing angry questions about his judgment in making him Britain's envoy to the Trump administration, the country's most powerful ambassadorial post. Why is this only happening in the U.K.? Like, this makes sense. This is what should be happening around the world. This is what should be happening in America. And it's not just one, you know, political appointee for us. There should be like a series of congressional hearings scheduled today and tomorrow and the day after that for the next several months until everybody in these files is called before the people of America and held to account. Why is nothing happening in America? What's that? Jewish control grid? I've never heard of such a thing. But like, what else could it be? Why in a ubiquitous, unified, monolithic fashion is every single media outlet in America ignoring this completely when it is such bombshell, insane information about the most important people in our entire country? Nobody's covering it. Not a single word on Fox News about any of this. Kind of suspicious, isn't it? Isn't it kind of suspicious? Especially when you read these documents, when you read the files, and you see over and over again Jeffrey Epstein talking with Ehud Barak, the Prime Minister of Israel, saying in no uncertain terms that he is a quote-unquote agent of the Rothschilds. You tell me what would explain somebody reading that type of information over and over again throughout all of the Epstein files and then writing this headline: Epstein was probably a Russian spy, says Poland. Really? Is that what you came away with? Obviously not. They don't actually believe this. But I guess it's good cover for the normies, right? Jeffrey Epstein was likely to have been a Russian spy, the Polish prime minister has said. In an unprecedented intervention after the Epstein document release, Poland is set to examine the pedophile's links with Russian intelligence services. Donald Tusk said, more and more leads, more and more information, more and more commentary in the global press all relate to the suspicion that this unprecedented pedophilia scandal was co-organized by Russian intelligence services. It would have been more succinct for Donald Trump to just come out and say, like, I'm on the payroll of Israel. Because that is the only possible way you could come to this conclusion. It is such obvious and blatant gaslighting. And it's not, we're at the level. Maybe they don't realize this. They think that by trying to blame this on Russia, they're somehow covering up the truth. No. The truth is out there. The truth already arrives. By not covering it, you're not damaging the real story. You're not creating your own narrative. You're only destroying your own reputation and putting a big red brand on your forehead that says liar, traitor, tool of evil. That's the only conclusion to come to, because nobody genuinely thinks that Jeffrey Epstein was a Russian agent. And anybody saying that is just exposing themselves and accomplishing nothing but exposing themselves. And this post, I think, put it really well, from Alon_Mizrahi on X. The great mystery of our time. Who is Jeffrey Epstein working for? Whoever could it be? Epstein, quote, I'm a Jew and I have Israeli citizenship. All my friends, investors, and close associates are Jewish and have Israeli citizenship. All of my friends from academia are Jewish with an Israeli citizenship who are enthusiastically Zionist. I work closely with main AIPAC power figures and similar organizations in other countries. I spoke on behalf of Israel with foreign governments and helped to mediate deals with for Israel. I, quote unquote, represent the Rothschilds. Here are my favorite Talmud quotes. I deal regularly with a former Israeli prime minister. The same Western media that never reported Epstein's crimes and connections are actively helps to conceal Israel's crimes, saying, quote, clearly Epstein is a Russian spy. Definitely. That's the conclusion to come to here. And it's like, just why lie like this? Because when you lie like this, just, I mean, God, I mean, I've had explained this like a billion times over the last couple of years. That it's like, it's the same over and over and over and over and over and over and over, right? If you see an example of one person doing one thing, you don't, I don't, most people don't automatically extrapolate that to mean everybody of that particular race, color, creed, ethnicity, whatever it happens to be. But then this type of stuff happens, right? You see a video on X of a black guy murdering a white person. You don't automatically go, all blacks are murderers. All blacks are evil. You know, you go, okay, that guy killed that guy. One's black, one's white. It's tragic. Statistically, sure, we can talk about that. But you don't extrapolate one instance of one person doing one thing and say everybody's like this. But then you go to the comments section and there's 60,000 comments, 60,000 black people all saying, good for him. Good job killing that white guy. And you go, okay, maybe this is an issue. It wasn't the killing that was the issue. It wasn't the murder or the whatever event happened that was the issue. It's the response that makes you go, oh, okay, maybe this is an issue. Maybe this is a big problem. See, Jeffrey Epstein being a Israeli spy, not condemnatory of all Jews worldwide. Obviously, Israel has spies. Obviously, they lie and do bad things and cheat people and screw people over. They're spies. Every country has them. Then every media outlet uniformly tries to blame Russia and tries to say that he was a Russian agent and completely covers up and downplays the connection to the Jewish diaspora and the Israeli power structure. Maybe this is a bigger deal than we thought. It wasn't the Epstein files that made me think that. It wasn't the revelation of him as a spy for Israel that made me think we got a big issue here. It's the fact that universally and without exception, every mainstream media outlet has decided to cover it up. That is a problem. That's a real problem. And we really need to get to the bottom of what is compelling people to be like this. Is this hard to understand? Like, is this really that complicated? My God. It's literally 10 billion times I've had to explain this. There's more. Some nice additional trivia details, which may be of help for keen-eyed observers of things. Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine's father, was laid to rest in the most prestigious Jewish cemetery in the whole world, Jerusalem's Mount Olive. Mount of Olives, I think is actually what it's called. When former presidents, prime ministers, and uniquely big Zionist figures are buried. His funeral was attended by both then-Israeli PM Shamir and President Herzog and many other dignitaries and formal figures. Moreover, when his body was flown to Israel, it was escorted by Israeli fighter jets as a sign of the utmost national respect. But don't look into that or anything, you know? Don't think about that too much. You might become anti-Semitic. And this is... just getting back to Trump, why this makes no sense. This was Trump's response. It's going to clip number three here. This was Trump's response in his first administration when he was asked about, you know, pedophilia networks and stuff. Help me to justify these two things. Help me to figure out how these two things align. We just showed you the recent video of Donald Trump today saying, let's stop talking about this. I think it's time to move on. It's not about me, so let's all shut up already. Meanwhile, this is him being asked about it in his first administration, clip number three.
At the crux of the theory is this belief that you are secretly saving the world from this satanic cult of pedophiles and cannibals. Does that sound like something you are behind?
Or I haven't heard that, but is that supposed to be a bad thing or a good thing? I mean, you know, if I can help save the world from problems, willing to do it. I'm willing to put myself out there.
Yeah, that was the correct response. Now you're covering up for them, so make it make sense. It doesn't make sense. None of it makes any sense. And by the way, not only is Epstein just admits he's an agent of the world, like all the stuff we've already covered. Epstein, quote, trained as a spy under Israeli prime minister. FBI documents reveal that Epstein was, quote, close to the former prime minister of Israel and trained as a spy under him. Probably for the KGB, right? The KGB, you know, the defunct Soviet secret police that haven't existed since 1991. But it does occupy a very important, you know, place in the collective subconscious of Western people. It's a scary word, the KGB. So that's what they say Epstein's working for, even though they haven't existed since I was born, since 1989. And he doesn't work for Russia anyway. If he did work for Russia, it wouldn't be the KGB. It doesn't matter. They're just trying to cover up their own butts, and I think that should be obvious. And I want to go to another video here because, like I said, it is actually making waves in Europe, and especially the UK, where it's been revealed that Keir Starmer knew about Mendelsohn's connection to Epstein and yet still appointed him. He is facing the wrath of his opposition party. And in this video, clip 11, look at his hands, because his hands are literally shaking. Keir Starmer, PM of UK, is literally shaking in fear about the fact that his participation, his acquiescence to or awareness of the pedophile sex blackmail ring is all coming out and being exposed. Look at Keir Starmer's hands as you see him physically stop himself from shaking. Watch.
But can I reassure the House, Mr. Speaker? Let me reassure the House. The process for deciding what falls into those categories will not be a political process. It will be led by the Cabinet Secretary, supported by government legal teams.
He's literally shaking. His hands are actually, like, vibrating. You wouldn't think would be the case if you're the prime minister of a country and used to talking in front of people like this. You can actually see him like fit. Look at that. Do you see that? He's shaking. He's like actually like quivering, and he puts his other hand on top to stop it. That's wild. But you know what? Keir Starmer has been in this game for a long time. You don't get to where you are at the top of UK government politics without being aware of the Jimmy Savile of it all and being a happy participant in all of that. And of course, Starmer was a lead lawyer, barrister, whatever they call them, that helped to create a migrant sex rape gangs anyway. It's like everything these people do ends up with innocent little girls being raped at an industrial scale. I think it's what they're into. I think it's on purpose. I think if they wanted to avoid that consequence, they know how. But it's what they get into on their off days, and it's what they do professionally. They provide and create the circumstances by which innocent white girls can be raped. So sort of where we are, I guess that's a rapeocracy. I guess that's what we live in. That's what we're all understanding. We're in a pedophile rapeocracy that they call a democracy, but it's not. It's a rapeocracy where everybody is a rapist.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. bodybuilders take is it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 49 minutes ago from the General at General MC News, the entire UK government is on the brink of collapse amid Epstein revelations and claims that multiple government officials were involved in child trafficking and torture. Only the UK? Like, where is America at? This was our guys doing this. Just crazy. Let me tell you about this as well, and I think we have some B-roll we can play with this. Clip 28, an illegal bio lab was just raided in Las Vegas and was operated by the same LLC and Chinese nationals as the one discovered in Reedley, California. Here's what we know about the Reedley lab from a highly disturbing report I requested from the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. This is from Kevin Kiley at Kevin Kiley CA on X. He says, it was run by an international fugitive from China named Jiabai Jesse Zhu. After running various state-connected companies in China, he moved to Canada, where he set up a dozens of corporations to steal valuable American intellectual property and unlawfully transfer it to China. The Supreme Court of British Columbia found he committed fraud on an epic scale, resulting in a $330 million judgment. He then fled to America, assumed the alias David He, and set up several more companies, including one behind the BioLab. He was indicted in 2023 and has been in custody ever since, but his partners and other associates have not been. The Reedley lab was discovered in December of 2022 when a code inspector came upon a suspicious warehouse. Inside, she found many Chinese nationals, quote, wearing white lab coats, glasses, masks, and latex gloves, along with thousands of vials of biological substances and 1,000 mice. It was later learned that these were transgenic mice genetically engineered to catch and carry the COVID-19 virus. A further inspection found blood tissue and other bodily fluid samples and serums, along with thousands of vials of, quote, suspected biological material. Some of the vials were labeled with the names of infectious agents, while others were labeled in a code that was never deciphered. At first, the CDC refused to investigate and even hung up on local officials when asked for help. After Representative Costa got involved, the CDC did an inspection and found at least 20 potentially infectious agents, including HIV, tuberculosis, and the deadliest known form of malaria. Yet, the CDC did not bother to test any samples, even those with unknown contents, making it, quote, impossible for the Select Committee to fully assess the potential risks that this specific facility posed to the community. The Select Committee report calls this baffling. Later, local officials discovered a refrigerator in the lab labeled Ebola. While the supposed purpose of the lab was to sell test kits, in fact, all the company did was buy counterfeit kits from China and resell them in the United States. Thus, there was a, quote, lack of apparent legitimate or even profit-motivated criminal motive in the operation of the illegal facility. Meanwhile, Jesse Zhu, its operator, was, quote, receiving unexplained payments and via wire transfer from Chinese banks. Okay. All of this is just about the lab that was found in 2022 in Reedley, California. So, like, again, just try to set up a lemonade stand without getting proper approval. How these people are running biological labs in America without getting caught. Really an indictment of our entire system. It's crazy. And even when it's reported to the CDC just, like, hangs up on people. It's like, what do you do then? Of course, what they do is lock us all down for the flu. This is all the 2022 lab and just the ridiculous mismanagement of this obvious crisis situation where you have somebody, like, it's an important point when they say there was no profit motive to run this operation. They weren't making money running this bio lab. They were motivated by something else, and they were being paid by the Chinese government. We have illegal Chinese bioweapon labs operating in California, discovered 3 years, 4 years ago, never investigated, never thoroughly taken apart. And in fact, they never went and investigated the guy who ran the lab. They never went and investigated his house. They never imprisoned his partners. So now another lab has been found with the same people running the same operation. I'll tell you about it more on the other side. Quick commercial break. I'm going to open up the phone lines, get into this story a lot more. Your phone calls on the other side. Final hour of the War Room. Phone lines open in about 90 seconds. Stay with us, folks.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. I think we'll do the same thing that we did yesterday. It worked out really well, where I'm going to try my best. I'm not very good at it, but I'm going to try not to ramble on about whatever you're talking about. So you're going to call in. I'll throw to you. You'll have like a minute or so to make your point. I'll say thank you very much and then move on to the next caller so we can get to as many as humanly possible. The number again to dial 1-877-789-2539. Those calls will fill up and I'll go to them momentarily. But again, we're reporting on a newly discovered illegal bio lab that's related to and associated with a bio lab that was discovered in Reedley, California in 2022. The report about this concluded that, quote, nobody knows whether there are other unknown biolabs because there's no monitoring system in place. Now we know there was at least one other, but we still don't know how many more. This is why it's critical for Congress to pass my bipartisan legislation, authored with Representative Costa and Representative Valadao, to find these labs and shut them all down. Yeah, seems like it might be a priority of ours. Yeah, there's a lot of things we should probably prioritize that we don't because we're too busy, I don't know, hunting down anti-Semitism in Harvard or playing footsie with a bunch of radical communists trying to kill ICE agents. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we should be doing. I was thinking about this yesterday because there was a ton of stories about a big sunspot, whatever they're called, you know, coronal mass ejection, a wave, an EMP essentially from the sun that if it were to hit Earth, it would wipe out all electronics. And it's just like, you know, if we know this is a possibility, we know that it's literally happened not too long ago. The Carrington event was in the late 1800s, and it destroyed telegraph wires all over the earth at the time. That was really the only electronic component that could be destroyed, and they all went up in flames. Like, telegraph wires burst into flames and fell over and were destroyed. Now, if that same thing were to happen today, it would be kind of the end of the world. It would at least be a major disruption, to say the least. So you would think, you know, if you were in charge of protecting a huge number of people, 350 million Americans, this might be pretty high up on your priority list. It's something that we know can happen, that has happened before, not too long ago, and that would kill billions of people. So it'd be like a high priority just to at least solidify the, you know, the core infrastructure that you need. Never happens. Never happens. That's just another thing. It's just another thing that, like, yeah, if we weren't so busy doing a bunch of crap that doesn't matter, we would do this type of stuff. We would do things like try to find out if the United States of America, the continental United States, is filled up with a bunch of illegal Chinese bio labs creating weaponized Ebola. Seems like it might want to be a priority for us. I guess once we're done bombing the shit out of Iran, maybe we'll get around to it. Once we're done guaranteeing that not a single anti-Semitic student is in any university in America, then we'll get around to rounding up the bio labs creating the weapons to kill millions. It's just infuriating. So here's the roundup, the recap. Biden's CDC refuses to raid a U.S.-based deadly bio lab run by a Chinese illegal alien. The CDC and FBI were finally embarrassed into doing so, into actually doing the raid in the warehouse in 2023 by members of Congress, but the CDC destroyed the evidence anyway. Then they did not bother to raid the house of the guy who ran the lab, the most obvious place to check next, the place he was keeping the rest of his bioweapons, it turns out. A place just 3 miles from a major Air Force base. The Trump FBI just did the home raid, and holy cow. Holy cow is right, folks. Because here's the story from KTNV Las Vegas. Police source describes falling, quote, deathly ill after entering Las Vegas garage where bio lab was found. An arrest report obtained by Channel 13 sheds light on where materials seized from the home may have come from, as well as connections to a man facing federal charges in California. Court records obtained by Channel 13 reveal more information about a man who investigators say was managing the property where an illegal biological lab was found on Saturday. 55-year-old Ori Solomon faces charges in both state and federal court after investigators seized guns, passports, and uncovered details about the alleged bio lab tied to a man who's currently in federal custody. Okay, so nothing to see. Okay, so I didn't realize it was an anti-Semitic thing. Jeez, now the police are anti-Semitic? Like, we got to get over this already. I'm kidding, of course. Doesn't matter who it is. We're still going to talk about it. So far in Clark County, Solomon faces one felony count of improper disposal of hazardous waste, specifically hydrochloric acid. The charge comes under a Nevada law governing weapons of mass destruction, lethal agents, toxins, and delivery systems. Solomon is also facing federal gun charges after authorities found bullets in at least 6 firearms during a search of his Las Vegas home on Saturday. Police said police and court records reveal Solomon is an Israeli citizen who was admitted into the U.S. on a non-immigrant visa, which is valid until May. The visa prohibits him from having guns. Probably prohibits him from having, you know, Ebola, too, but apparently it doesn't matter. 13 investigates found a number of videos on Solomon's YouTube page, ranging from property tours of videos of industrial machinery and parts for sale. One video shows him troubleshooting high-capacity bullet-making machines capable of producing more than 1,000 rounds per hour. Authorities have not yet commented on what that means for their ongoing investigation. Yeah, maybe something. There may be some implication there if he is both building bioweapons and running a bullet manufacturing lab. Maybe we should be concerned about him. Solomon reportedly manages 37 Airbnbs, including the house on Sugar Springs Drive where the bio lab was found. The lab was first reported to the FBI on January 9th by a woman only identified herself as Kelly. She told investigators she'd worked as a house cleaner for several of Solomon's properties. Kelly told authorities that the garage door at the Sunset Springs home was normally kept locked, but when it was left unlocked, she noticed a foul hospital smell. She and another employee both reported becoming deathly ill in April 2025, about 5 days after going into the garage. Their symptoms included breathing issues, fatigue, couldn't get out of bed, and muscle aches. Both believed they were sick because of the bio lab in the garage. Kelly also told the FBI that Solomon's wife got sick after entering the garage and that a lot of people in the house have gotten sick, including one female who ended up in a hospital with severe respiratory issues. Jeez. Okay, we just literally have Israeli bioweapons labs operating in Airbnbs in Las Vegas. Okay. As Channel 13 reported, a 2023 investigation that led to Zhu's arrest, this is Jesse Zhu, the guy who is running the illegal bioweapons lab in California, that led to Zhu's arrest detailed the discovery of hazard material in a warehouse in Reedley. Investigators found vials of 20 potentially infectious agents, including HIV, tuberculosis, and the deadliest form of malaria. The warehouse also contained hundreds of lab mice and test kits for pregnancy, COVID-19, and HIV. Zhu is jailed in California and pled not guilty to federal charges for wire fraud, conspiracy, distributed, adulterated, and misbranded COVID-19 test, and lying to authorities. According to the report obtained by Channel 13, Zhu and his associates attempted to license a medical laboratory in Las Vegas on West Charleston Boulevard, but were unsuccessful. They believe material from that lab may have been taken to other properties in Las Vegas linked to Zhu, including the home on Sugar Springs Drive that was searched on Saturday. According to the report, phone records reveal Zhu called Solomon from jail approximately 467 times over the past year. So there you go, folks. There you go. We apparently have Chinese people and Israeli people working together to create illicit bio labs that are like poisoning everybody who comes in contact with it. And the dude that was arrested for running the mysterious illegal Ebola ridden lab in a warehouse in Reedley, California, was making hundreds and hundreds of calls to this random other foreigner elsewhere in Las Vegas, whose house cleaners were almost dying because they went into his garage where he was clearly doing some sort of biological experiment. I'm going to guess without, not with good intentions in mind. I don't think this was an undercover, this was a grassroots vaccine program or something. I mean, they're creating weapons. They're creating biological weapons on American soil. The Israelis and the Chinese, apparently in cooperation with one another. Kind of concerning, I think. You have to laugh because what the hell? What the hell? You know, it's kind of like, I think everybody kind of in their neighborhood, everybody has a house that you're like, we're pretty sure those people cook meth, right? Or something, right? It's like, yeah, that house like never turns its lights off, or that house has tons of traffic coming through. I think they might be dealing drugs. You know, like everybody's got house, maybe some suspicious activity. You never think you're in a suburb of a major American city that you're actually sitting right across from a Zio Chinese weapon lab infecting humanoid mice with Ebola. Who would have thought, right? Who would have known? I wonder if Airbnb is going to send down an alert. It's like the Airbnb version of the STD call. Come down with an STD and you got to call your old exes, tell them they need to get tested. Like Airbnb, like, remember that house you stayed in Vegas? Yeah, you might come down with polio. You might have mouse polio. We're sorry to tell you. I don't know. I was thinking back. I've stayed in an Airbnb in Vegas. I wonder if I was in Mr. Solomon's lab. You think it'd be a bigger story? You think this would be a bigger story? I had to like dig to find this stuff. Ori Solomon, our greatest ally, is working on a new disease called Goypox. When you catch it, your credit score goes straight down. Kidding. Okay, let's go out to phone calls. We still have some open lines here. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call. Let's go to Nick in Connecticut first. Go ahead, Nick. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. I just first wanted to start off by saying I'm officially designating February as Goy Pride Month.
Oh, that's beautiful. We deserve it.
So, what I wanted to say is, and I don't know if this is an unintended consequence or if this was intended, but I feel like. I mean, they had to know by releasing all these files that there was going to be a lot of what they're going to deem as anti-Semitic talk and comments and videos and memes and everything that's going to be going on. And I think that was I think they're going to definitely use that to their advantage, whether that was the purpose or not, the goal. I feel like they would have taken a lot of the stuff out. And maybe they're doing it now. I don't know. I know a lot of stuff's been going down and coming back in. were just taken down altogether. But I think they're definitely, Israel's going to use that. The neocons and the Zionists and our own government are going to use that to their advantage. How, I guess that remains to be seen, but they're definitely going to use it, I feel like.
You know, so, I agree. And funnily enough, that was actually something else that my wife brought up to me yesterday, because I was explaining sort of the feedback loop and the way that, you know, anti-Semitism is desired and useful to organizations like the ADL, who can pump up their anti-Semitism numbers and point to that and go, we need more government funds, we need more power, you better, you know, give us what we want because anti-Semitism's rising. And yeah, my wife said exactly the same thing. She's like, so do you think these files were released on purpose to cause that? And it kind of took me a second. I was like, maybe. Actually, yeah, that, you know, that's certainly a part of it. But I mean, with the amount of stuff that's been revealed, I don't know. I can't possibly think that they were like, yeah, let's do it. I mean, I don't know. They definitely didn't have the permission of the people involved to do this. But it's the beauty of the situation they've created, where literally, you know, the worse Israel acts, the more anti-Semitism it inspires, the more anti-Semitism, quote unquote, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. But the more you can point to that, the more power you can get, the more funding you can get, the more you can get American Jews separate from their fellow Americans and to go to you and trust you, and they need you for protection. You know, it's really dangerous out there. You need us. You need our organization. We'll shield you from the dangerous anti-Semitism that we are inspiring by killing children. It's a very efficient cycle that they're running, and it's kind of unavoidable. The actual only way to avoid it is to not be anti-Semitic, and it's actually not that hard. This is the solution. And actually, I'm sorry, I said I wouldn't ramble, but I got to say this because I meant to say this in the beginning. My wife asked me, she's like, are you worried that like they're going to come after you for like putting this stuff out? And I'm like, well, first of all, it's just them talking, so can't see how they'd be mad at me for putting up videos of them. Seems rude. That would be rude to come after me for that. But there's also another thing where, like, I don't know. I probably shouldn't even mention it. But like, they don't come after me very much, and I think it's because they don't want to show people an example of somebody who can strongly and powerfully and meaningfully oppose these Jewish networks, oppose Israel, oppose all of this stuff, while also not hating Jews and repeating over and over that I love Jews and that I have nothing wrong with Jews and that Jews are actually the ones who need to lead this fight because they're the ones that are being screwed over by it. They don't want people like me out there. They'd be happy because remember this happened a week after Charlie Kirk was murdered, when everybody was talking about it being Israel, the ADL wrote a long article about it. They include my tweet, but they blocked out my name. Everybody else they mention. They mention Nick Fuentes. They mention Candace Owens. I mean, they mention everybody. They include my tweet. They talk about my tweet. Not my name does not appear in any of it. Remember, I kept saying, say my name, ADL, say my name. They won't say it. I don't know why, but I think that's what it is. I think it's because they would be happy to put my name up if my account was full of hatred of Jews, if my account was full of half-truths that I, you know, made the Jews look bad, or, you know, rumors or actual racial hatred. They would be happy to show my profile because that's what they want people to think, is that you're either, you know, with Israel or you're this hateful bigot just lying, you're a liar, and you're, you know, all this other, you're a Muslim, all this other stuff. It's like, nope, I'm a Christian man. I love the Jewish people, got nothing against them, but this is a big issue. It's a big problem. We have to solve it. We have to solve it fast because they're aggressively trying to destroy our rights in the name of Judaism. Not my fault that they're doing that. Sorry. Sorry. Not my fault that they're the ones doing it. If it was somebody else doing it, I'd call them out. Unfortunately, it's not. It's them. So I got to call it out. They don't want people with that mindset. They don't want people removing themselves from the paradigm that we're supposed to be in of hate versus hate. Screw you, you're a Jew. Screw you, you're not a Jew. Rah, rah, rah. No, the only way out of this is out of it. The only way out of it is love. The only way out of it is Christianity, Jesus Christ. Sorry, that's the only way. So they don't want you to know that. So I don't know. They don't tend to go after me very hard. Maybe it's because they recognize that I don't hate the Jewish people, so they don't see me as an enemy. But I think it probably has more to do with the fact that I'm not a good example for them to point to say, look how evil and bad these guys are. They point to me. What they'll find is a happy, loving, joyful person criticizing Israel and the Jewish diaspora for their misdeeds and nothing else. So they don't like me. That's my bit of a ramble there. Thank you so much for the call, Nick. Let's go to Kyle in Nebraska. Go ahead. Kyle, you're on the air.
How are we doing, Harrison?
Doing great, sir. How are you?
Hey, good talking to you, brother. Talked to Owen a lot in the past and Alex a few times, and so it's an honor to talk to you, brother. I just wanted to bring up something I found with the help of my friend that I posted on X there, and I just wanted to say it's Kyle Likes Truth. If you guys are able to pull that up, I reposted your live broadcast, and right underneath that, there's a link for a FOIA request if folks want to figure out their batch number from the bioweapons that we've all been subjected to. Been real outspoken against that. I have a real close friend in Canada that's been severely having her life taken, basically, as well as her family, lost her career over it. And so I've been just huge in this space, Harrison, trying to get the message out there on my account. So if anybody would like to look, there's a way there you can, for Americans and Canadians there, that I reposted for a FOIA request for your exact batch number for your bioweapon.
Okay, very interesting. Is it this one here? Kay Holiday at Kyle Likes Truth. These doctors can run, but they can't hide much longer. Fight on. Is that the one you're talking about? I'm trying to find the exact post. You say Pfizer lot EY0578. What do you know about getting a FOIA request? If you can retweet it again, just so it's at the top, then I can send people to it. But that's very interesting. Yep. I hadn't thought about that. So if you did get a Pfizer vaccine, you might want to check your lot number, because what we discovered and what the numbers show is that it actually mattered. Some batches had a lot of negative consequences, a lot of unintended side effects, adverse consequences, but other batches didn't have so much. So what would be the purpose of finding out your Pfizer batch number? Is there a reason that you're trying to find it, or just for your own knowledge?
Yeah. So the nurse there, I don't know if you've heard any of the gentleman's space with Ava, the AI, but she's been pretty pretty productive on this exact research. And it's under T-Bird, T-Money, the one I replied to there. And she actually asked a couple of really good questions the other night. And the reason you'd want to get a FOIA request is to figure out, just go deeper into the tracking of those batch numbers, because, as you said, some of the Pfizers were somewhat clean. Maybe some of them were even saline. I don't think any of us know for sure. But to get to the bottom of why that E-lot was so nasty and caused her heart failure and brain demyelination, liver failure, for why that happened, I think that'll be real important. And I just pray to God, under Jesus Christ's name, that we can get more requests in via FOIA, if that's how we have to do it. Either which way, I just appreciate every single thing you guys have done and how you had Dr. Francis Boyle on so early. I just can't imagine how many lives you guys saved there, InfoWars. Harrison, I just want to say God bless you, brother.
Well, thank you very much. And I hope we've done a good job. And, it's not just about giving you the information that you need to resist the brainwashing and the pressure and the social pressure that people faced under. Cause, especially if it's your kid and you've got doctors going, are you sure you want your kid to die of whooping cough? Are you sure you wouldn't rather give them a little shot right now? Like, they have a lot of ways to make you feel like you're killing your child by not getting the vaccine. If you're not armed adequately with the right information to counteract their propaganda, then it's hard to resist. So I genuinely think that that's probably one of the most valuable services we can provide, is just like giving you the information so that you can be confident in your own decision not to vaccinate. It wasn't just about choosing personally not to vaccinate, but about the resistance that everybody was able to come together on and realize that this is not in our best interest. This is not for our health. This is a operation to seize control. And we realized that, and we stopped their attempt in its tracks. I keep saying it over and over. Anthony Fauci says this year is COVID year 5. Okay. They wanted COVID to be our reality forever, our new normal, the great reset. No, we rejected their Great Reset. We defeated the Great Reset. Maybe need to celebrate that a little bit more. They really went all in on the Great Reset, and we really stomped it into the mud until it stopped moving. We stomped it some more. And then they swapped out Klaus Schwab for Larry Fink and decided to double down. So it's time for us to double down our resistance. We'll be back with more calls. Stay with us.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Mm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I've just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment of the War Room is on. We'll go directly out to your phone calls. There is some breaking news here. The FDA has approved the first age reversal gene therapy trial, with researchers claiming aging can be reversed and a startup preparing to test the idea in humans. So, don't say we didn't tell you. And of course, throughout the Epstein files are talks about life extension, the Gilgamesh life extension project, and others. So, can we not? Let's just all embrace life and its necessary corollary, death. It's okay, guys. This is what God intended us to do. We have a brief time on earth to fill with as much work as possible, not try to subvert God's ultimate plan, you absolute morons. But okay, we'll do that then. It's just, they just are doing it. They're doing it, folks. Meanwhile, here's some good news. Trump administration says Nike discriminated against white workers with DEI policy. The U.S. Equal Opportunity Employment Commission announced Wednesday that they are subpoenaing Nike Incorporated for information about DEI-related discrimination. Finally, reparations. When is the white man going to get our reparations for how we actually have been discriminated against to a massive degree? Finally. Finally, the equality laws that we're subjected to might actually apply to us for once. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be amazing? All right, let's go out, back out to your phone calls. I do want to remind you that Optimal Human Hydration is the new electrolyte drink mix available at thealexjonesstore.com. It's got French sea salt as a natural source of sodium to help you absorb the water that you're drinking, meaning that you'll be hydrated better than drinking water alone. Most people run in a constant low-grade dehydration state, especially with hard training, sauna, travel, long work days, or low-carb diets. Now, that shows up as fatigue, headaches, brain fog, cramping. And so this product, Hydration from Optimal Human, available at thealexjonesstore.com, is built to help you replace what you lose and keep your performance steady. It's got French sea salt, premium electrolytes, taurine, and a number of other all-natural products that help your body absorb and retain water more efficiently than plain water. The benefits it brings are that it supports your endurance, supports your recovery, and gives you sustained hydration without crashes. And so it's a drink mix. It makes your drink taste good. We've got strawberry lemonade. We've got the lemon lime flavor. A lot of people use this type of stuff already. Just get a little extra electrolytes, help you hydrate a little bit better. Well, ours is the best. Optimal Human is a fantastic brand. If you've ever tried their green drink or the Mind Fuel energy shots, you know that everything Optimal Human makes is the best quality available. So get yours today. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And just know that every dollar you spend at the Alex Jones Store gets invested directly back into this mission to bring the truth to the world, whether they like it or not. And we will continue to do that regardless of what the authorities do with our corporate structure. We will continue to tell the truth. We will continue to battering ram down the censorship program as long as you support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com today. With that, we got to the lines once again. Clown Carr in Coney Island. Haven't heard from you in a while, Clown Carr. How are you, sir?
Clown Carr, reporter for duty, Harrison. How are you doing, my brother?
Honk, honk. I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. Hey, listen, it was February 2020. His name was Professor Charles Lieber, and he was arrested by the feds. But what happened was they said that he had five students that were here under the 1,000-something program. And these guys were the CCP operatives that were smuggling live pathogens in and out of America. One of them was actually caught getting on a plane to leave, and they caught him with five or seven different vials of live pathogens. Funny enough, but shortly after that is when he disappeared. You never heard another word from him, and I believe that he was turned over to work for the feds. But his father, if you trace it back, worked for Hitler. That's right.
Wow.
Charles Lieber's father worked for Hitler. And you know what he did for Hitler? He worked at Chimera Project, where they were meshing robot-controlled animals through their eyes and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was one of the things. And another one is, I heard Brianna earlier say that there were 10 people in New York City. But actually, this morning on 1010 Winds, it said it's 16 people that died in the cold.
That's right.
And by the end of the day, there was 17 people that have died of the cold. Now,
wow.
At some point, Mondani has got to be responsible for the way this was handled here in New York City. There are more cars with broken side mirrors and their fenders and everything like that because everybody's crashing into all this frozen snow. Turns out, spoke to a friend of mine in the sanitation department, and he said New York State as a whole only has 8 of those melters. So there's 8 of them for all of New York State, from Albany all the way down to the Hamptons. 8 of the snow melting machines. We are under siege here in New York City. It takes an hour to go to what normally takes 20 minutes because nobody can drive in the streets. Everybody's double, triple parking anyway, and now they're doing it even more. We have problems here in New York City, and Mondani used to act like it's a big joke, you know, going out with a shovel, showing, look, I'm shoveling people. Where are you now? What happened now? You know, you promised everybody free buses and there's going to be a free supermarket for food. I can't wait to see all this stuff happen. But like he said, he's not able to do any of it because he's got a $31 billion budget left behind by Adams. So that seems to be his excuse quick. But the other thing, and we can go back to Jeffrey Epstein being replaced in prison by Hillary Clinton's brother. That makes total perfect sense. You know, they needed the body, and they were like, hey, this guy looks exactly like my brother. My brother just died. Let's break his neck and put him in a body bag and say that it's Jeffrey Epstein. There's no way a guy that powerful was going to spend the rest of his life in jail. There's no way a guy like that who's so powerful would be killing himself in jail. So all of that seems to be, you know, obviously now you see what he was really up to, so you definitely know he's alive. So if he is alive, and the way Trump was talking about him the other day, he was talking about him like he was alive too, you know, that he said he's going to sue him and all this stuff. But how do we really think in our hearts? And I'm a little upset with Alex that he jumps on, well, Trump's not in there. Come on, bro. Trump's in there. Trump's got to be in there because Trump was running those beauty pageants, remember? And Jeffrey Epstein was side by side with him throughout it all. Come on, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've discussed that a lot. I still don't think Trump was involved to any sizable degree. He may have been, and if there's proof of it, I'll absolutely go with it. I've heard other people suggest that. Well, again, it's like, okay, was he a victim of it? Is he being blackmailed by the stuff, or was he in on it? I've heard other people say, oh no, he was basically like Epstein. He was one that who provided the girls for the blackmail. I don't know if any of that's true. All I know is the evidence that I've seen. Trump acts like an innocent person and is not in any of the files. And every time he's asked about, or the victims are asked about, or the victims' lawyers are asked about Trump, they're like, he's the only one who was open about it. So again, I think the whole thing is convoluted, but if Trump's in it, I'm willing to accept that. But so far I haven't seen much, but fantastic call, Clown Car. I know Ma'am Donnie is really struggling right now. That's it. Actually tragic. 17 people have frozen to death in New York. And that's because he refused to like clear out the homeless and put them in shelters. Is that right? It's homeless people that are dying because, they don't have expanded capacity to meet the demand. Is that correct?
Here's the thing. A lot of the homeless and right before COVID started, I actually have a friend of mine who's a famous homeless guy. His name is TJ Negron. He's the guy they call Joe Byron. And whenever the homeless outreach program people used to come around sometimes when I'd be with them, I'd ask them questions. And this was right before COVID started, that there was 70,000 homeless in New York State, part of this outreach program. And guess how many people died of COVID during the whole COVID thing were homeless?
Zero. Oh my
zero.
God.
Now, don't you think that's a little odd?
Of course.
They didn't have access to what?
Of course, yeah. Of course, that's suspicious. They should be. I mean, you don't want them to be, but if it was a real, you know, viral infection, they would be the first to be infected and suffer from it. Absolutely.
100%. And another thing is this outreach program. They could put these people into these homeless shelters, but see, the homeless shelters are actually run by an insane asylum. So people are scared to death to go to these homeless shelters for getting raped, robbed, killed, stabbed, murdered. You know, and Mondani wants to talk about putting these psychologists to go out and handle, you know, somebody with a knife being threatening people. They're going to send these psychologists out. Why don't you fill these psychiatrists starting out in these homeless shelters and see how it works out there. Because right then and there is when you're going to know if these people who, you know, most of these crimes are committed by homeless people in New York City. The people pushing in front of trains, homeless guy. Setting people on fire, homeless guy. You know, every time they think, oh, well, we're going to just lock people up if we think they're mentally ill. Remember that one? That was a couple of years back. And I want everybody to remember Kathy Hochul said, if you're not vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccination, that you're not getting into heaven. So let's just start with that.
Yeah. Well, New York, I mean, thank God they got you there, because I don't know how you guys are going to make it through, Ma'am Donnie. But we'll see, man. Great call, Clown Car. I got to go to other calls. That was great. But actually, before you go, I did a little research, sir. You want to know what Charles Lieber's up to now? The Charles Lieber you just talked about with he got caught, Harvard, bunch of biological agents, somebody trying to flee to China. I found him. I found Charles Lieber. Quote, second chance, convicted U.S. chemist Charles Lieber moves to Chinese university. A former Harvard scientist convicted of making false statements says he wants to do research that benefits humanity, and he just can't do that in the United States. So he has now joined the faculty of a Chinese university. So he's being rewarded for helping them in their plot. What do you know? So thank you for reminding us of that, Clown Car. Great stuff. I want to go to Mike in Ohio now. Mike in Ohio. And I understand there's something messed up with our phone systems. So hopefully the people can hear me when I'm going to them. Mike in Ohio, you're on the air about BioLabs. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison. Good to talk to you, man. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you for calling in. I hear you have your radio in the background. If you could turn that down and go ahead, sir.
Yes. Yeah, I shut it off. Yeah, I couldn't hear you, so I was trying to still catch the show. But
that's what we heard. Yeah. So if you're listening to me right now on the air, yeah, our phone system's messed up. The show feed's not going through the phone, so you're still on. You're on hold, and we'll get to you if we can. So yes, sorry about that.
Heck yeah. So it's all good. Real quick though, I'll be quick. I shared a video on X. I know you follow me and you liked it. It explains why Trump doesn't necessarily have to be in the Epstein files diddling kids, but he's still going along with all the Israeli agenda. I mean, there is plenty of dirt on Trump linked to corruption, period, in his younger business days that they don't have to have him diddling kids. And then on to the biolabs. My point with the biolabs was we know that the Israeli plan is to use up the West and then move to the East. And that's what they're doing here. You know, they're working hand in glove with China to infiltrate our infrastructure, which China already has done. I mean, I work in the electrician field, and I know for a fact that they've infiltrated a lot of our main switch gear with back doors to where they can shut down our whole grid.
Yep.
You know, there doesn't have to be a solar flare or an EMP. China can literally type a code and it's going to be done. If you remember, there was a story several years back in Trump's first presidency where they tore down a piece of switch gear and found embedded software inside the machinery that would allow them to do that. So
they've discovered things like China intercepting shipments. Like they have boats just offshore to intercept like container ships, and then agents will go onto the container ship, install back doors into the hardware of the stuff. So it's beyond the software. It's below the software and the architecture. So it boots up before the operating system or before whatever the control function of the machine is. So you can't, you know, detect it or get away from it. It's there embedded from the beginning. And the Chinese will do that either when it's manufactured in China or they'll intercept it when it's shipped and install backdoors there. You're absolutely right.
Right. And so here we are in the Trump presidency 2.0 worrying about Iran and an Israeli greater, you know, the Israeli greater Israel project. And it's like, we have to concentrate our force on that. And you've done a great job on it. I really think you have. But, you know, until we remove the foreign influence from government, nothing's going to change. But the Clown Car's point, or no, it was a prior caller, I'm sorry, that was speaking about the FOIA request for the vaccines. My wife had to take the vaccine because she's a nurse practitioner. And if you go to howbadismybatch.com, your vaccination card has your lot number on it. Put it in there. And it doesn't tell you which I don't know that a FOIA request is going to tell you the specific ingredients in your vaccine. I'm sure it's not. But it will tell you how many deaths have occurred from the vaccine,
oh.
how many major adverse reactions, minor reactions.
So give us that URL one more time.
Yeah, it's called howbadismybatch.com.
Howbadismybatch.com. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. I do want to move on to some other calls, but thank you very much for the call. By the way, I should probably announce this or something. I used to bookmark everything on X. Now I like stuff. So I'm like, I like stuff that I don't actually like sometimes. I'm not saying this is the case with you, but I am, you know, I'm just using likes now to save stuff for later instead of just bookmarks. And so I'm sure a lot of people are thinking that I'm liking stuff. I'm just trying to save it. But anyway, you don't see likes unless I like your content. But hey, I probably did like whatever you posted. I think it's worth considering what Trump's involvement in all of this was. I mean, everybody knows that he was good friends with that fixer guy. Can't think of his name right now. Mobster guy. I'm sure the crew knows. There's a documentary about him I just watched that features Roger Stone. I don't know why I'm blanking on his name, but he was sort of famous for having a Jeffrey Epstein-style blackmail operation where he would get people in compromising positions, take pictures of him. I mean, he was sort of Trump's mentor for a lot of times. So I don't know. Maybe Trump was helping to get blackmailing people. I don't know. It's certainly possible. Roy Cohn. Thank you, Crew. Yes, Roy Cohn is rumored to have done stuff like that. So maybe Trump was working with him, helping with him. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have any confirmation one way or the other. I just, from everything I've seen from years of watching Trump, I just don't think he's into that sort of stuff. I just don't. I really, really don't. But he very well could be. Or he could be scared that he's, you know, associated with it or something. That's certainly possible. Thank you so much for the call, Mike. Let's go to Joe in Arkansas now. Joe, thank you so much for calling in. What do you think Trump's deal is with the Epstein files?
No, I don't really know, to be honest with you. I voted for him 3 times, but I tell you what, it's getting real hard to support him anymore. I feel like he's trying to cover up for some friends or something like that. You know, it just don't make no sense. It doesn't make any sense why Kash Patel doesn't really come out and say more about it, and Bondi, it's just like it's real hush-hush. Oh, quit.
I completely agree. It's baffling. It's nonsensical. It genuinely doesn't make any sense, y'all. I mean, I'm trying to figure it out. And it's funny because people are going two different ways. I've had people who are diehard Trump supporters, like our friend Joe in Arkansas, who says, you know, I voted for him 3 times, but at this point it's getting like it's hard to cover up for him. Meanwhile, I've got other friends who have been really suspicious of Trump for a while that are like turning around and going, I think he's doing a rope-a-dope strategy. I think he might be actually doing this on purpose to expose the Epstein files by pretending that he doesn't want them exposed. So it's funny. What your interpretation of this, kind of up to you, because you can sort of read anything into it. It's just funny to me that Trump supporters are turning against him and Trump enemies are like, hey, maybe he's actually pulling this off. I don't know. I don't know what the truth is, but it is absolutely fascinating. I did want to mention from the last caller and just the talk of the Iranian situation. It's very much still in the news. Now, it's very weird because we have no reason to go to war with Iran, but it seems to be all our country cares about anymore. Marco Rubio confirms Iran talks were to protect Israel. It was never about Iranians. The U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said, quote, we will not sign any nuclear agreement with Iran that does not include limiting the range of its ballistic missiles so that they can no longer threaten Israel. And of course, this is what it was always about. And I've explained over and over, they keep sort of dragging Iran along, saying, oh, yeah, we're going to negotiate about nuclear weapons and, you know, we'll be able to come to an agreement, compromise, settle this. Just don't get involved yet. We'll have these nuclear talks. Just don't get involved. Don't help your proxies. Just wait. We'll do these talks. Iran agrees. Time for the talks. The Trump administration / Israel says, OK, it's not about the nuclear missiles. It's about your ballistic missiles. You got to get rid of those. And Iran says, what the hell? It's not what we agreed to. We were in good faith, you know, fulfilling our end of the bargain, and now you guys just pull the rug out from under us. And I think they're sick of it. I don't think they're playing the game anymore. And Iran, as of today, has canceled any forthcoming talks. They were supposed to be talking on Friday, and Iran said, nah, forget it. That's just not happening. And, I mean, look, they've survived everything we've thrown at them so far. And they've gone really hard. And there are still, like, these attempts. There was a shipment captured today, apparently. Again, this is from Iran, so, you know, who knows if it's legit. Some of it is legit. You know, they Iran put out a video where they'd captured Starlink, like a truckload of Starlink portals. And they had the video of the Starlink portals there, and there's thousands of them. So, I mean, unless they went out of their way to buy $1 million worth of Starlink portals just to pretend to capture them, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So that, I think, was real. This, I don't know if it's real, but it's Iranian authorities showing just like a giant weapons cache with like punching dagger knives, like combat knives and stuff. So apparently they're still trying to like get the whole Iranian revolution kicked off, the whole, you know, opposition protests. They're trying to arm them and, you know, force conflict there. It's not a healthy relationship between us and them. From Axios, U.S.-Iran nuclear talks back on after Arab leaders lobby White House. So wait, are they back on now? It literally keeps switching. Earlier today, it was announced that the Iranian meeting had been called off. I don't know if this is an up-to-date article. The last article I saw said it was off, but okay, I guess they've changed their mind. So let's all learn together. Plans for the U.S.-Iran nuclear talks on Friday are back on, okay? After several Middle Eastern leaders urgently lobbied the Trump administration on Wednesday afternoon not to follow through on threats to walk away, two U.S. officials told Axios the talks will be held in Oman, as Iran insisted, despite the U.S. initially rejecting changes to the original plan to meet in Istanbul. The standoff had sparked fears across the Middle East that President Trump would pivot into military action. At least 9 countries from the region reached out to the White House at the highest levels, strongly urging the U.S. not to cancel the meeting. They asked us to keep the meeting and listen to what the Iranians have to say. We told the Arabs that we will do the meeting if they insist, but we are very skeptical, a U.S. official said. A second U.S. official said the Trump administration agreed to hold the meeting to be respectful to U.S. allies in the region in order to continue pursuing the diplomatic track. The U.S. and Iran had agreed to meet on Friday in Istanbul with other Middle Eastern countries participating as observers, but the Iranians said on Tuesday that they wanted to move the talks to Oman and hold them in a bilateral format to ensure that they focused only on nuclear issues and not other matters like missiles that are priorities for the U.S. and countries in the region. So I'm telling you, folks. Did anybody tell you that they did the whole switch up with the nuclear and the ballistic missiles? Like, I feel like we're the only ones that are covering this stuff. Everybody else, and this is the problem with like surface level conspiratards, is like most people that I see talking about this are just like, yeah, we're just doing this for Israel. And like, that's as deep as their investigation goes. Like, no, you got to understand the nuances here. You got to understand how these things have developed. Who is pushing for what the motivations of Iran are. Is America completely beholden to Israel? Not really. They deviate sometimes, and you got to be able to recognize that and see not just when it's happening, but why it might be happening. So I don't know if any other outlet talks about the fact that the American negotiators just completely keep screwing Iran over and changing what the talks are about, and that Iran is just like, we will talk about nuclear. We agreed to talk about nuclear. That's what we'll do. And it's America that's going, well, actually, let's talk about ballistic missiles. And, oh, no, the talks are off. Iran's crazy. It's all BS. But nobody else tells you that because nobody else is paying attention or cares, I guess, because they want simple, concrete, black and white answers. It's not always that easy. So you can come to us for the nuance and the reality and the truth behind the lies. And I hope you can support us in this. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself one of the supplements. They're all fantastic. Buy yourself a knife. They're super cool and make great gifts. Mine is an everyday carry from thealexjonesstore.com. It's absolutely fantastic. I've been using it for months. It is not worn out at all. It is still sharp. It is still quick and easy to release. The locking mechanism is still in perfect order, and I use this every single day. Get yours at thealexjonesstore.com. Brand new knives on sale now. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.